be in the lower 20s for this evening. Clear with a low around 10. For Friday, sunny with a high in the mid-30s. Friday evening, clear with a low in the mid-20s. Then on Saturday, sunny skies with a high around 40. Currently, we have partly cloudy skies, 20 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting the same, but the wind chill outside makes it feel like it's 5. Please bundle up and try to stay warm to the best of your abilities. That is a look at this hour's traffic and weather. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 6 o'clock hour. Up next, it's time for the award-winning wake-up call with your host, Liz Brown. She's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather at the bottom of the hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Time now for another edition of the wake-up call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Santa baby, just slip a sable under the tree for me. Been an awful good girl, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa baby, a 54 convertible to light blue. I'll wait up for you, dear Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Think of all the fun I've missed. Think of all the fellas that I haven't kissed. Next year I could be just as good if you check off my Christmas list. Santa baby, I want a yacht, and really that's not a lot. Been an angel all year, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa honey, one little thing I really need, the deed to a platinum mine, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa cutie, and fill my stocking with a duplex and checks. Sign your X on the line, Santa cutie, and hurry down the chimney tonight. Come and trim my Christmas tree with some decorations bought at Tiffany. I really do believe in you. Let's see if you believe in me. Santa baby, forgot to mention one little thing, a ring. I don't mean on the phone, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Hurry down the chimney tonight. Hurry. Tonight.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the morning wake-up call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. I just have to ask one question. One question. Why hasn't there been a front page story about a hotel security video that was released a couple days ago, about a week ago? No, a little less than a week ago. That shows, and the film was released as a result of a lawsuit, recorded by a security camera at the DoubleTree Hotel in Arlington. Judicial Watch filed the lawsuit. CNN filed a Freedom of Information request because a manager of the hotel had disclosed its existence. And guess what? This is a 9/11 film. And guess what? It shows that there's an explosion at the Pentagon. And guess what? It doesn't show American Airlines 757 jetliner. Huh. The only known record of the plane is on images from, where else? But the Pentagon security camera. Why hasn't this been front page news? Why hasn't this been front page news? Where is the plane? How do you miss a plane? How does a camera pick up the explosion? And it was on before the explosion, and it was on after the explosion. How do you miss a 757 jetliner in your camera lens? My name is Liz Brown. I'll be back. Stay with me. Hi. This is Liz Brown, and it's that time of year again when Wake Up Call listeners reach out and warm hearts all over St. Louis. That's right, it's the third annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive. The Blanket Drive will take place on December 15th with a live remote at 7 a.m. at the George Washington Carver House. We'll have pickup and drop-off here at the station and at Carver House starting at 6 a.m. So you don't have a lot of time. It's been a really warm winter. Mark your calendar for Friday, December 15th, and bring your blankets. Once again, we are warming hearts all over St. Louis.
Thousands of people have doubled, tripled, even quadrupled their income, not by working harder and not by working longer hours, rather by working smarter, by working from home.
I make as much as $25,000 a month. You didn't have to have, you know, some special training or anything like that.
Your whole life can change.
Our first year in a business, we did $78,000.
I found this incredible opportunity. Last month, I made over $14,000.
We'll guide and mentor you to a lucrative opportunity where you can make money right from your own home. As with any independent business, there are no guarantees regarding income or success, and results will vary.
I started making an extra $5,000 a month, just very, very part-time.
I now make $5,000 a month, and it's simple, fun, almost magical.
Go to betterjobplease.com and get started today and respond now while this is still a free service. Go to betterjobplease.com. That's betterjobplease.com. Betterjobplease.com. Betterjobplease.com.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 till 4 on AM 920. WGNU discusses the issues that matter most to you every day. And if you have a relationship problem with a friend, coworker, or family member, it really matters to me. So call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA. Tune in every Monday through Friday afternoon from 2 until 4 and take on the day with me, Dr. Laura, on AM 920 WGNU.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother on the award-winning Makeup Call with Liz Brown.
Run, run, Rudolph, Santa's gotta make it to town.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. Get up. Get to me. When was the election? Month ago? Has it been a month yet? No, it hasn't been a month. It's a month tomorrow. November 8th, right? They think we stupid. Let me say it again. They think we stupid. On the front page of the money section of USA Today, or as George W. Bush would call it, the USA Today. The USA Today. Gasoline prices are likely to go higher. You think? Election is over. They lost. Here's what they say. Supply is falling and demand is going up. Huh? We had Labor Day. We had Thanksgiving. They said more people were traveling during Thanksgiving than ever in the history of before of Thanksgiving. Huh? Gasoline prices are going to go higher? You think? The recent rise in gas prices will likely continue until Christmas. You think? They lost! Nationwide average retail price of gasoline of regular gasoline has risen 8 cents, since the end of October. You think? A number of analysts say prices will likely inch higher through December. Yeah, a number of analysts that are in the room with the oil people and the Republicans are saying, yeah, well, shoot. Bump them. We didn't win. Bump them. Y'all go get your money any way you can. Continue to gouge away. Gouge away. It doesn't mean that we are going to see $3 gasoline this week. Still, and this is the bottom of the article. Still, it is rare for gasoline prices to go up this time of the year. Really? How odd that is. And I'm reading this out of the article. Still, it is rare for gasoline prices to go up this time of the year. From 1990 through 2005, retail gas prices have risen only 5 times from the end of October through the beginning of December. Pre-boy George. Pre-boy George. And here's the other thing. Here's the other thing. You got to think strategically. You got to think without ethics, ethlessly. You have to think without ethics. You have to think mercilessly, without mercy. You got to be all those things. You got to think all those things. After all, it is the Christmas time for the Republicans. So think bad thoughts. So if you're thinking bad thoughts about what this really means, What are they thinking? They're going to raise the prices. They're going to raise them to $4 a gallon. And you know who they're going to blame it on? Those stinking Democrats in charge. Those stinking Democrats in charge. It's their fault. It is their fault. Okay? So fasten your seatbelts, baby. Oh, it's going to be a bumpy ride. It's rare to see gasoline going up this time of the year. It's only happened 5 times from 1990 to 2005, and guess what? 5 of those times were during Bush's reign. It happened last year. It happened last year. It happened the year before. And check this out, because I am not a gasoline technician. I don't have a degree in, I don't have a doctorate degree in ExxonMobil. Okay, so I will freely, absolutely admit that I don't know everything about what goes into price increase or price decrease. But I am not a stupid woman. I am a politically astute person, and I understand greed. I get greed, and I get power. So, having said all that, please explain to me how this makes sense. The last paragraph of this article says, a drop in gas from this year, earlier this year, appears to be propping up demand for gasoline. A drop in prices appears to be propping up demand. And gas inventories have declined as refiners produce other more profitable fuels. Huh? Huh? They've stopped producing gas? They've stopped producing gasoline? Didn't they have a whole, I mean, here's the thing. Don't y'all have a lot of gasoline on tap? And this is the technical part of it. Does gasoline just evaporate when they have it sitting there in those barrels waiting to be used? Again, I don't have a degree in ExxonMobil. But huh? If people didn't use as much gasoline, what happened to the gasoline that was sitting there waiting for them to use? Evaporation? It has Boy George switched from beer to gas? 1-877-920-WGNU. You know, 1-877-920-WGNU. Linda.
Good morning, Miss Brown.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm great. And yourself?
I'm outstanding.
You may not have a degree in Exxon Mobil and all of that, but you do have a degree in common sense.
Thank you, ma'am.
Because not long ago, when the election was still going on, you said that Cheney was caught talking to the gasoline people, and once the election was over, you said it was going to go back up.
Yes, ma'am.
Prophetic statement, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Common sense statement.
Absolutely. And then I wanted to make a short statement. Yesterday, I read on CNN about the Republicans going on winter vacation with bills and things undone, and they're going to come back and leave it for the Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
Why wouldn't they?
Absolutely.
Remember, this is the Congress, because of the Republican majority, that has worked the fewest days since 1920-something.
Right.
They haven't been working at all, so why would they change their roles now?
And they're going to blame it on those stinking Democrats.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are.
Day.
Take care of yourself.
All right.
1-877-920-WGNU, that's 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get up, get up, get up, get up, get to me, huh? Oh, don't forget, folks, we have a volunteers meeting for the blanket drive for next Friday. Need you 6 o'clock this Friday. That would be tomorrow. It's Friday tomorrow already. Dang! It's tomorrow at 6 o'clock here at the station at 265 Union. Please, 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 I need you to come down to this meeting for volunteers. You'll get your t-shirt. You get everything that you need, your instructions. I need the help. Can't do it without you. Come on down tomorrow at 6 o'clock here at 265 Union. I'm Liz Brown. I'll be back after this break. Stay with me.
Good morning, St. Louis. 28 minutes after the hour, 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Advil. Eastbound 70 from the ramp to Kings Highway North. Look for a disabled vehicle partially blocking lanes. 270 southbound ramp to 44. There's a disabled vehicle. Right lane is blocked. 40 eastbound from Woods Mill all the way into 270. Expect normal traffic. 40 westbound from a causeway on the Hanley. Look for no problems there. 270 westbound from 367 through 170. Look for traffic to be flowing freely. 270 northbound from Gravois through Marshall. That traffic is building. 55 northbound from Butler Hill all the way in 270. Look for that traffic to be building there as well. Eastbound 70 from K through 79. Look for slow traffic. 55 westbound onto the Poplar Street Bridge. Expect slow traffic from the Illinois Bank of the River all the way in. King Bridge westbound at Laclede's Landing is running smoothly. And there are a number of areas that still have traffic lights that are not working. When you roll up to the traffic light and it is not working, please treat it as a four-way stop. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Advil. You don't need different pain relievers for different pains. Wherever you hurt, Advil works. The every pain reliever. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. Blustery, much colder today, mostly sunny, but that will be awful deceiving as the high will only be in the lower 20s for this evening. Clear skies and a low around 10. For Friday, sunny, high in the mid-30s. Friday evening, clear with a low in the mid-20s. And then on Saturday, sunny, but the high will only be in the upper 40s. Currently, we have 20 degrees and partly cloudy skies. Lambert Field has partly cloudy skies and 20 degrees as well. The wind chill out there makes it feel like it's 5. So if you're headed out to the bus stop, please bundle up. That's a look at this hour's traffic and weather. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather at the top of the hour. Stick around now. More of the award-winning Wake Up Call with your host, Liz Brown. She's up next. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else? Where else, where else, where else indeed? Washers, dryers, refrigerators, stoves, every single thing that you need to make your house a home, your home a palace. Get on over to Sears. Get your shop on. It's the holiday season. I know you need to get some stuff. Where are you going to get it? You're going to get it from Sears. Jerome Williams, the best deals in town, the best customer service in town, and the best location. Get on over to Sears at 3425 Union and tell them I told you to.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At ConnectCare, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At ConnectCare, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At ConnectCare, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At ConnectCare, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At ConnectCare, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At ConnectCare, we still provide urgent care. And at ConnectCare, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at ConnectCare, but we're still connected to you. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
Hi, this is Liz Brown, and it's that time of year again when Wake Up Call listeners reach out and warm hearts all over St. Louis. That's right, it's the third annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive. The Blanket Drive will take place on December 15th with a live remote at 7 a.m. at the George Washington Carver House. We'll have pickup and drop-off here at the station and at Carver House starting at 6 a.m. So you don't have a lot of time. It's been a really warm winter. Mark your calendar for Friday, December 15th, and bring your blankets. Once again, we are warming hearts all over St. Louis.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. From now on, our troubles will be out of a merry little Christmas. Make
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. Dolores, good morning.
Hi, Liz.
How are you?
Oh, I'm doing better. Yesterday, I took my grandbabies to school. The gas, I would not lie, Liz, was $2.19. I told my granddad, I said, oh, I'll just get some gas. I'm running late when we come back. Do you know by the time I got back to the same station, I would not lie, this gas was $2.29.
Mm.
It went up. And I'm saying, what would constitute the gas to go up that quick like that? And why is it going up?
Well,
I was making some money.
Well, no, it's about the election. The only reason they came down is because the Republicans did not want Americans to be feeling those high gas prices and their lives are so affected by that. So they took away that pain thinking that the voters wouldn't punish them.
This has got to be the worst administration ever. And this war. Yesterday, Liz, well, it wasn't last night. It was yesterday. Do you know there were 10 babies over there at one time that was killed?
10 babies were killed.
10 of them.
Mm-hmm.
This is getting ridiculous. And I don't see it getting any better. And this man standing up on television, he was talking to one of the people over there that the United States, who they want to put in office over there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm saying, who do the United States think they are? That they always got to go around everywhere and put in office who they want to put in office. And he's telling this man is saying, well, by June, we would like for everybody to be out. George Bush sat there and told that man, well, no, we got to stay the course until the job is finished. What I want to know is, Liz, what job is this man talking about?
Well, what I want to know, has he ever finished a job in his life?
Right.
I mean, he's the last person to start making demands about finishing jobs, given what his record of accomplishment is.
I'm just trying to figure out what job is he talking about.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I can see he's there over there for, they got the nerve to set up base over there, which means I'm thinking they're going to be there a good little while.
Mm. Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
Terrible.
It is horrible, and it's horrible that the dumbest kid in school is in charge.
Well, that mean anybody could be president.
No. It doesn't mean that. It does not mean that. It means that Boy George is president. That's all.
That's it.
All right.
Okay, Liz.
Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU. Rob.
Hi, Liz.
Good morning.
Same guy that calls you every once in a while, always doing research on the internet. And at risk of sounding like a nut, there's a lot of stuff out there that is totally nuts. It's around 9/11 and stuff. But I recently come across something that I don't know if you've ever heard of Michael Rupert.
Mm-hmm.
He's kind of gone undercover. He was run. His offices were ransacked. I think they were in Vancouver. And then he went to Venezuela. And now, from the last that I've heard, he's someplace up around Toronto. He's got something wrong with his liver. There's talk about it might have been poisoning or anything. But he's put out an excellent, excellent video that goes through, basically starts back. I'm a little nervous.
That's okay.
It's a denial of something. If you go to Google Video and you type in Michael Rupert, it's about 2 hours long, and it goes through everything that's going on, especially recent history. It goes through what was behind 9/11. And, I mean, at risk of sounding like a conspiracy theorist, you know, that's the first thing that everybody thinks of whenever you talk about that. But we all know that something was up with that. We've seen videos over and over and over again. At least I have, because I research it. I see it on the internet. I've watched that building come straight down evenly so many times that, I mean, I can see it in my sleep, and there's no way that building come down like that.
No, it's not. No, it's not. Absolutely, it's not.
And just, you know, they put this out there to where you're automatically, you know, you belong in a white suit with your hands wrapped around your back and tied together whenever you mention anything like that. But this man here, he's made a video that's put it all together, and he talks about...
Is it better than Loose Change?
Excuse me?
Have you seen Loose Change?
Yes.
Is it better than Loose Change?
Very much better. He doesn't just touch upon 9/11 as being the big thing. That 9/11 is just a, I don't want to say symptom, but it's just a small thing in history compared to what's really going on. When you get into the Great Depression wasn't really a depression. It was a money exchange that took the money. They basically forced money out of the poor people's pockets, put it into the rich people's pockets. And by rich, I don't mean even Bill Gates is, you know, the people we're talking about are the ones pulling the strings for our government. It doesn't really matter whether they're Democrat or Republican. They're still having their strings pulled. And he goes into the Iraq situation over there, and he talks about all the people or all the countries that are investing in Iran and what would happen if we was to even think about going into Iran. And Iran's got China, Japan, Russia, and all them buying oil from them. So it'd be not only political suicide, we just couldn't win. We're on the low end of that one.
Yep.
And
I'm going to take a look. I am definitely going to go do the Google search and find Michael Rupert's film. And you don't know what the name of it is?
It's Denial of Something.
Okay.
He's got a lot of them out there, but this one here is a compilation of several speeches that he's done. He's very, very good at it. To give you a little bit of background, if you don't know, he was a CIA agent that was a whistleblower about the government's involvement in drugs and basically feeding them to our people and stuff.
Out of the Los Angeles, the crack cocaine?
Yes, ma'am, mm-hmm. And this was years ago.
Okay.
And he's been doing, you know, this kind of work ever since. And
well, you know that the reporter for that story, that broke the story for the San Jose, for the Mercury Times, he died mysteriously.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes, I remember that. I think there's part of that actually in this video.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the other thing I wanted to say is that, I'm a white man. And I've always wondered about how much involvement the government has at pitting the white against the black or the white and black against the Mexican or whatever. You know, it just seems like a useless war going out there between the races. And I personally was brought up way out in the sticks with no black people around, but I haven't ever had any reason to, you know, think that. Most of it's fed to me when I'm listening to the radio or I'm around people that have all the time been in a situation around, like, St. Louis area.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always wondered in the back of my head, is this something that's fed to us?
I think that class separation is fed to us more than that. I think that the government does gain advantage from conflict. I think corporations know that they will go to Africa, they will go into countries and cause conflicts or go into countries where conflict is going on so that they can cut deals and do things that they wouldn't be able to do if there wasn't conflict. Conflict always is to the advantage of those that want to take advantage of things. I do believe that the government takes advantage of it, but I think honestly, Rob, that there is a serious legacy of enslavement, and there is one of the components of that legacy is an understanding that a culture has, a belief system that a culture has, that one group of people is superior than another group of people or entitled to a disadvantage, or another group of people is less than them, as a result of this history that is played out in every facet of life that we exist in. And that's a fact. Our country has to deal with the legacy of the mentality and the understanding that comes from a country that enslaved a group of people. You don't just enslave people. You engage in a campaign to disconnect those people from humanity to justify your enslavement of them. And there is a legacy of that, and there are actions that are carried out every day. Otherwise, why would there be more time for crack cocaine than powder cocaine?
Yeah. I've got one more question for you, and this has got to do with something that I dug up within the last 2 weeks that it's kind of twisted my mind a little bit, and it's got to do with Abraham Lincoln and the way everybody looks at him.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of quotes was about, and I've looked all over the internet, and I found them in pretty, you know, I can't tell you exactly where, I can't remember, but they were pretty reputable sites,
mm-hmm.
and that he actually never had intentions on, I guess it's the Emancipation Proclamation.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And that they pushed that forward as if that was his big thing.
That's
his big
exactly
thing
right
was that we were going to Civil War anyways, and he went...
Oh, he's a false hero. He's an absolutely false hero. I mean, one of the things that he said, that I am of the belief that if there is a superior and an inferior, it is my belief that the white man is superior and the Negro is inferior. It wasn't, no, he wasn't trying to free enslaved people. And he didn't. When you read the Emancipation Proclamation, he didn't free enslaved people.
Is this widely known in the...
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. How do you have an industry on a man like that when you...
I'm just wondering, like I say, I'm a white kid that went to a white school.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if they teach this like the urban areas. That...
Nope.
Okay, well, thank you,
thank
Liz.
You, Rob. Take care of yourself.
Bye.
1-877-920-WGNU. My name is Liz Brown. Get up, but get to me. We have much to talk about.
I'm in the Polar Bear Club, so I don't think twice about jumping into freezing water, unless I'm stuffed up with a cold. So I take Claritin D, because nothing clears nasal congestion from cold stronger, faster, or longer. Claritin D clears my head, helps me breathe freely, and lasts a long time. Bombs away! Live Claritin Clear.
For cold congestion, ask for non-drowsy Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Still no prescription needed. Among non-drowsy oral 24-hour OTC allergy products, use as directed.
The Lesland Arts Council proudly presents Wintermarkt Saturday, December 9th from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Greg Freeman Park at Kingsbury and the Pear. It's a local reimagination of a centuries-old German winter festival, with handmade gifts, toys, decorations, baked goods, hot cider, roasted chestnuts, live music, carriage rides, and the spirit of the season. Proceeds benefit local artists and the West End Arts Council. Call the Skinker de Bolivar Community Council at 314-862-5122. Wintermarkt, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m., December 9th.
Hello, St. Louis. This is George Cotton.
And I'm Phil Wilson.
We're your hosts for The Real Deal with George and Seal.
Every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m.
That's right. Tune in and you'll hear thought-provoking conversations and maybe something that'll make you mad.
Yeah, thought-provoking if they're listening to me. They'll get mad if they're listening to you.
Just the same, we'll see you Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
4 to 5 p.m.
The Real Deal with George and Seal.
Hi, this is Liz Brown, and it's that time of year again when Wake Up Call listeners reach out and warm hearts all over St. Louis. That's right, it's the third annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive. The Blanket Drive will take place on December 15th with a live remote at 7 a.m. at the George Washington Carver House. We'll have pickup and drop-off here at the station and at Carver House starting at 6 a.m. So you don't have a lot of time, it's been a really warm winter. Mark your calendar for Friday, December 15th, and bring your blankets. Once again, we are warming hearts all over St. Louis.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
It's Christmas time. This Christmas time. And you so far from me. It's Christmas time. It's Christmas time. With mouth between us, I will not see the bells that chime. whole night at Christmas time. For the merry Christmas tree. Cause when you're gone, I'm dreaming on of how it used to be. Oh, the snow has covered the fields, and the ice hangs on.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call.
He that has an ear to hear, let him hear. First of all, I'd like to speak upon the information that you brought out concerning the plane crashing into the Pentagon and the surveillance camera not being able to capture or detect that plane going into the Pentagon. People, don't think for a nano fraction of a second that this government does not do things evil like that. I'm not just saying this administration. I said this government. They are always doing something wrong to deprive and to blind the masses of people for their proper gain. Now, it's not ironic that that information came out on this same very day that the Pearl Harbor incident took place. They always are doing something as if they didn't know that the Japanese were going to attack. These are the means that they do, and they have the greatest intelligence on earth, even 60 years ago, as they do today. So don't think that they don't know what's going on. They are doing these things so that they can take their gains and dominate and spread their power across the nations. This is their goal, this is their drive, this is the blood that goes through this country. And being into slavery, I heard you say something about slavery also, is that it's a different type of slavery. Yes, we are out of the bondage of change and physical slavery, but the slavery now is to overtake your mind. That's their goal, that's their drive. And as soon as we realize this, especially black people, the sooner we realize this, the better off we'll be. And the only way we can understand that is we turn to the creator of heaven and earth. That's the bottom line, and I thank you.
Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And if you want to toll free long distance me, do that at 1-877-920-WDNU. Don't forget that we are a podcast at whiterosesociety.org, as well as we are archived at whiterosesociety.org. Every hour is there. If you've missed an hour, go get your hour. And don't forget that we have a volunteers meeting for the Wake Up Call blanket drive. You'll get your t-shirts, you'll get your assignments. Please come on down. We've got to get this done, and blanket drive is a week from tomorrow. A week from tomorrow. Get your blankets this weekend. It's your last weekend to get your blankets. Get your blankets this weekend. Go get them. We need you to bring the blankets out on Friday. I will be broadcasting from George Washington Carver House all morning long. We'll be looking for your blankets. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. Andrew.
Power is the people, Liz.
Good morning.
Good morning. I was talking about the gas prices. I was looking at them. They did raise up kind of fast.
Mm-hmm. Based on what? Based on what?
Based on that storage, the storage capacity they probably have. Mm-hmm. You said the gas evaporates, and it does evaporate very, very fast.
It doesn't evaporate that fast.
If it's stored in tanks, it evaporates.
Okay.
But you also were talking about slavery, and the guy was saying slavery was a mental and a physical, was mental and not physical. It's more like of a death thing. It's not mental. It's a way to take you out. So, slavery doesn't exist, but it's a way to take you out, though. So that's my only thing.
All right, thank you. 1-877-920-WGNU. 1-877-920-WGNU. In the next hour, of course, Eye on the Loo with Irene J. Smith. Whew. Couple of breaking stories. You need to hear this story about UE. We got a story for about UE. Got a story about some things going an amazing thing that has actually happened with respect to a decision by Matt Blunt and Jeff Smith. An amazing thing. We're gonna talk about that as well in the Eye on the Loo. You don't want to miss that. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. Is it interesting? Is it ironic? Is it meaningful? Is it something? 10 GIs were killed on the day that the Baker et al. Study group released their report. 10. And they were killed in 4 separate incidences. The military confirmed that 10 Americans had died but gave no further details. The death rate was raised as a result of the deaths of those babies. The number is now 2,917. And that's according to an accounting by the Associated Press. 10 people were killed, 10 soldiers were killed on the day that the report was released. So tell me again, what is this? We're staying the course. We're in it to win it. We ain't talking to any stinking Iran. We ain't talking to any stinking Syria. We're not talking to any of those folks. We're in it to win it. And it's not a civil war. We're winning, but we haven't won yet. Huh? No, we're safe, but not yet safer. Huh? Mission accomplished. What? This is the world that this administration wants you to stay in. Oh, and it is so lovely to hear you, the coward babies out there trying to recalibrate their thought process after losing, after getting a serious loss handed to them in this last election cycle. How are they recalibrating their minds and their thought processes? Well, you know, it's good that this happened. Okay. The Democrats are going to really mess things up. Oh, I know. Like gas prices raising to $3 a gallon. Like ExxonMobil making the highest profit of any corporation in the history of corporations. Like almost 3,000 Americans dead, hundreds of thousands of Iraqis dead, a war forever and ever, amen. Kind of like college students having debt coming out of college that they will have to pay off until they're 70. No Pell Grants. Kind of like a housing market that has taken a bullet train to the bottom. Kind of like that. Oh, yeah, we've got problems coming, don't we? Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown. Eye on the Loo is waiting for you right after the break. Stay with us.
I haven't kissed. Next year I could be just as good if you check off my Christmas list. Santa baby, I want a yacht, and really that's not a lot. Been an angel all year, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa honey,
one little thing I really need, the deed to a platinum mine, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa cutie, and fill my stocking with a duplex and checks. Sign your X on the line, Santa cutie, and hurry down the chimney tonight. Come and trim my Christmas tree with some decorations bought at Tiffany. I really do believe in you. Let's see if you believe in me. Santa Fe.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. He has already gotten a look at it. Now President Bush has a big decision. How much of the Iraq Study Group's report will he put to work? Here's ABC's Ann Compton.
As soon as the Iraq report was delivered, the Bush White House had nothing but praise.
We look at this as a very positive document.
Spokesman Tony Snow insisted no matter what advice is eventually taken, this is going to be bipartisan. And President Bush sat down with Democrats and Republicans from Capitol Hill.
I want to work with the Congress. I want to work with people in both parties.
But it will be weeks as the president waits for other in-house reviews. Ann Compton, ABC News, the White House.
But ABC News consultant Fawaz Jerges, a Mideastern Islamic Studies professor, says it might be too late even if the entire report is implemented.
The very social fabric of Iraq appears to be coming apart. And I think this particular situation, this particular struggle, will likely run its course in the next 5 or 10 years ahead.
Mr. Bush reviews the report today with British Prime Minister Tony Blair. At least 10 American service members, meanwhile, are among the latest casualties of the ongoing violence in Iraq. NASA is watching the forecast. The weather could force the space agency to wave off tonight's shuttle launch.
As launch technicians push ahead with the countdown, despite the gloomy weather outlook, Commander Mark Polansky has been waiting 8 years for this flight and is still awed by the power and complexity of the shuttle.
When I crawl around the vehicle at the Kennedy Space Center, I'm flabbergasted sometimes looking at all the parts.
Polansky has 5 space rookies and 1 other space veteran on this mission. Vic Ratner, ABC News at the Kennedy Space Center.
He risked his life in order to save theirs. That's what authorities in a remote part of Oregon are saying about James Kim. The California man's body was found in a drainage ditch not far from where he had left his wife and daughters in the family car to go look for help. They'd gotten lost. His family was rescued Monday. This is ABC News.
Merry Christmas.
To many in your local community, this is the sound of Christmas. Together, Walmart and the Salvation Army's Red Kettle campaign have been helping change the lives of those in your community for 20 years. And this year, our commitment is stronger than ever. From our families to yours, Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays.
The holidays are here, and Guitar Center is your one-stop destination for every musician on your gift list. Save 50, 60, up to 75% off. Plus, don't pay for a full year on total purchases of $299 or more. Great holiday deals like acoustic guitar packs from Fender, only $99. Casio portable keyboards, just $79. Plus, Guitar Center gift cards make the perfect stocking stuffer. Guitar Center's December deal days are going on now. Don't miss it. Now online at GuitarCenter.com.
Now, this is a sure sign that the holiday season is here. The Capitol Christmas tree was officially lit last night. A second grader from Washington State threw the switch. He was one of the 3,000 kids who made ornaments for the tree. ABC's Luis Giovanni was there.
On Capitol Hill, the season has arrived.
Everybody ready? 1, 2, 3.
Illinois Republican Dennis Hastert, in his final days as Speaker of the House, lighting up the 65-foot Pacific silver fir tree at the west front of the Capitol. The United States Navy Band played, and the political correctness was spared as, on the program, it was officially called a Christmas tree. It will be illuminated every day till the new year, from nightfall to just before midnight.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Louise Schiavone, ABC News, Washington.
Big Toyota recall to tell you about, involving more than 200,000 Highlander and RAV4 SUVs. The check engine light doesn't work. Toyota says it'll fix it for you for free. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, a St. Louis police officer isn't expected to face any charges in the shooting of his sister. Authorities say the woman was armed when she attacked her brother early yesterday morning in a home on Vera Cruz in Afton. That's when the off-duty officer fired on her. The woman's injuries aren't considered life-threatening. Police say the officer shot in self-defense. Two men will go to prison for the robbery and assault of a pizza delivery driver. Damian Pollum pleaded guilty yesterday to first-degree robbery, first-degree assault, forcible sodomy, and armed criminal action, and was sentenced to 30 years in prison. Kenny Johnson received a 10-year sentence after pleading guilty to first-degree robbery and first-degree assault. Prosecutors say Pollum and Johnson attacked and robbed the female victim when she knocked on their door in Kirkwood in September 2005. St. Louis is recognized as the best in the world when it comes to urban renewal. The World Leadership Forum presented St. Louis its World Leadership Award in the Urban Renewal category yesterday in London. The other finalists in the category were Kansas City, Missouri, Manchester, England, and Calcutta, India. A St. Louis area businessman could be the next U.S. ambassador to Belgium. President Bush sent his nomination of Sam Fox to the Senate this week. Fox is the founder and CEO of the Harbor Group, an operating company based in Clayton. He's also the chairman of the Republican Jewish Commission and is known for his charitable efforts for the United Way and various St. Louis institutions. Finally this hour, a local veteran says it's important to remember the anniversary of the attacks on Pearl Harbor. Bill Rupp, the chairman of the St. Peter's Veterans Memorial Commission, says we can learn a lot from that attack.
I think the country needs to step back and take a look at what happened in Pearl Harbor and what we as a country did, how we brought it to the finest conclusion, and what's happened today after the 9/11 attack.
St. Peter's will hold a Pearl Harbor Remembrance Day ceremony at 10 o'clock this morning at City Hall. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Preparation H. Carry Preparation H portable wipes, convenient little packets that hold very big wipes, to cleanse, cool, and soothe even when you're not at home. Preparation H portable wipes, big relief to go. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Kmart. 70 eastbound from Kings Highway ramp. Look for an incident that's been cleared earlier. Disabled vehicle is cleared now from the traffic lanes. 5570 westbound from 64 on from 3rd. Look for a disabled vehicle on the right shoulder. A couple cars have a flat tire due to a truck that's lost some wood pallets near the merge. 40 westbound from 141. There's an object on the roadway believed to be a pipe in the left lane. Traffic is slowing near Maryville Center Drive. Eastbound 40 from Clarkson through Mason. Look for congestion in pockets. Westbound 40 from McCausland through Hanley. Look for nothing to report at this hour. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry through West Florissant. Look for heavy volume going on. Northbound 270 from Gravoy through Marshall. Look for traffic to be building this hour. Eastbound 70 from K to 79. Look for slow traffic. And eastbound 40 between Clayton Morrison and McKnight. Look for slow traffic. Northbound 55 from Russell through Poplar Street Bridge is slow. Illinois Route 3 northbound from 8th Street onto the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for some delays on that ramp. And 5570 westbound from Illinois 203 into the PSB. Look for slow traffic, and Kingbridge traffic is slowing westbound from the gravel pit into the landing. And 64 westbound from Bowell Avenue to 5570 split. Look for slow traffic there as well. Some traffic lights may still not be working. In that case, treat those as a four-way stop. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Kmart. You know those Christmas gifts that just make you feel warm all over? Kmart has them. Get cozy outerwear for the whole family at 40% off. Hurry, sale ends Sunday, December 10th. Kmart, where Christmas comes together. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Saturday. Blustery, much colder day, mostly sunny with a high in the lower 20s. For this evening, clear with a low around 10. Friday, sunny with a high in the mid-30s. Friday evening, clear with a low in the mid-20s. Then on Saturday, sunny with a high only in the upper 40s. Currently, we have 20 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 20 as well. Stay tuned for the wind chill. Makes it feel like it's 5 degrees out there, so bundle up if you're going outside. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. Eye on the Lou with Irene J. Smith, and Liz Brown is up on deck. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Baby, just slip a sable under the tree for me. Been an awful good girl, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa baby, a 54 convertible to light blue. I'll wait up for you, dear Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Think of all the fun I've missed. Think of all the fellas that I haven't kissed. Next year I could be just as good if you check off my Christmas list. Santa baby, I want a yacht, and really that's not a lot. Been an angel all year, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa honey, one little thing I really need, the deed to a platinum mine, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa cutie, and fill my stocking with a duplex and checks. Sign your X on the line, Santa cutie, and hurry down the chimney tonight. Come and trim my Christmas tree with some decorations bought at Tiffany. I really do believe in you. Let's see if you believe in me. Santa baby, forgot to mention one little thing, a ring. I don't mean on the phone, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Hurry down the chimney tonight. Hurry. Tonight.
We have our eye on the Lou.
It's time now for Eye on the Lou. Redistricting. hand-picked school board members, up-and-coming elections, recalls, battles in Jefferson City. Knockdown.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Eye on the Loo. My name is Liz Brown. We have so much business to tend to this morning. Let us first get to some bookkeeping issues before we get to our other issues. Don't forget the blanket drive is on Friday at 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock, 6 o'clock, Friday at 6 o'clock. And don't forget the volunteers meeting is tomorrow at 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock in the evening, that is, at 265 Union. Come on down. We need your help. We need your support. We need your input. We need your attention. Come on down tomorrow for the volunteers meeting. You'll get your T-shirts and all the information that you need. We are going to take our first break, and then we will come back to Eye on the Loo. You don't want to miss it. Stay with us.
Of the Travel Planner Show.
Before you head out for a trip, you want to know how to pack, so check weather at yahoo.com, and then you'll know what to wear when you get there.
Oh, she's so good. The Travel Planner Show, every Saturday afternoon from 2 to 4, here on AM 920 WGNU.
Looking for time made just for you? Wanting to hear from some young people who are cool and well-informed? Have some questions adults just can't seem to answer? There is a place for you on WGNU Radio. Tune in Sunday nights at 5:30. You'll hear teens talk about stuff teens understand. Find out about the latest in music, sports, and other issues that matter. Finally, a talk show for teens, about teens, by teens, on 9:20 a.m. 5:30 Sunday night. Sponsored by the St. Charles Lawanga Center.
Rediscover the true spirit of Christmas. See the national touring production of Charles Dickens' holiday classic, A Christmas Carol. The timeless Dickens tale comes to life as a treasured holiday experience. December 15th through 18th at the Fox Theater. Join literature's best-known curmudgeon, Ebenezer Scrooge, on his unforgettable journey to discover the true meaning of Christmas. The Los Angeles Times says this production makes you feel like you're seeing and hearing the story for the first time. Bring the entire family for an entire evening packed with old-fashioned holiday fun. December 15th through 18th at the Fox Theater. The national touring presentation of A Christmas Carol. Reserve seats are on sale now at the Fox Box Office and MetroTix. Charge by phone at 314-534-1111 or online at MetroTix.com. Celebrate the season with A Christmas Carol.
For a look at the world news that matters most to you, tune in to AM 920 WGNU's Global News Updates. Weekday mornings, 7:45, 8:45, and 9:45. Weekday evenings at 6:45. Sponsored by Reasonable Construction. 314-382-2200.
The struggle for fairness on the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Eye on the Loo. When I am where I am, joined by Irene J. Smith. Irene, good morning.
Good morning.
We have some amazing stuff to talk about, and I think it seems rather fitting that we're going to have this conversation, given the fact that it was a week ago on Wednesday, or Thursday, a week ago today, actually, that lights went down. And there are still people, tens of thousands of people, interestingly enough, on the east side of Illinois that don't have their electricity on, and hundreds of thousands of people that just got their electricity on this week.
Last night.
I think it is fitting that we talk about this amazing story. And I guess it's also a story that underscores why we need to pay attention to and focus on what is going on in Jefferson City, because there, and also I think this also speaks to the concern that people should have with having a Republican dominated House and Senate.
Exactly.
This is a story that comes out of
all three branches. Just about, except for the judiciary. You know, the governor is Republican,
mm-hmm.
and we have state. The Senate and the representatives
yep.
are controlled by the Republicans, and it's dangerous when we don't have a balance of power.
Now, Representative Jane Cunningham.
Sounds like a familiar name.
She is All Children Matter. She is it's rare that you hear other state representatives refer to representatives as racist. And that's one term that I've heard attached to her name, the way that she treats people. But State Representative Jane Cunningham will be filing legislation tomorrow, check this out, that allows utilities, that would be UE, a tax credit on their state tax liability in the full amount of the lost revenue they incurred due to the cold weather rule. Ain't that some stuff?
Yes, it is. This is interesting. First of all, even calculating what that lost revenue is,
mm-hmm.
is interesting. But the fact that we put into a place a humanitarian
Jet
rule,
Banks did. Jet Banks was the
Jet Banks. Yeah, very, very definitely
mm-hmm.
Jet Banks and Elbert Walton mm-hmm. was very involved in this. As we know, we had someone who died
mm-hmm.
because their gas was cut off during frigid conditions. Now, we have a utility that has a monopoly.
Well, let's talk about the cold weather rule. What is that?
Cold weather rule is during a particular certain time. I don't remember the specifics of it, but it basically says that your utilities cannot be cut off when the temperature, I believe, goes below, I think, 32 degrees
mm-hmm.
or something to that effect.
And above also, and it's also during the summer.
During the summer. I'm not really familiar with
the
summer rule, but
mm-hmm.
I know with respect to the utility rule, and keep in mind, this does not just apply to gas companies, because some people heat
mm-hmm.
with electric.
Mm-hmm.
So this would also be applicable to Ameren UE
mm-hmm.
as well as Laclede Gas.
It's a rule that saves lives. It's a human rule. And you were starting to make the connect of why they needed to have this. This is a public utility.
Public utility.
Mm-hmm.
Keep in mind, as you know, we have one public utility.
Right.
Okay. Basically has a monopoly.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we can go and talk about the reasons for that, but that's not the case. The case is right now, what's at issue right now is that you have a monopoly.
Mm-hmm.
So as by virtue of having that monopoly, that gives you a up already, because if you want electric, you can only go one place,
mm-hmm.
okay? You gotta go to Ameren UE.
Mm-hmm.
If you want gas, you have to go to Laclede.
Mm-hmm.
If you want that type of gas, the convenience of gas, of course you can go get propane and all of that, and you can go get kerosene and all of that. But if you want those utilities, which are regulated, public regulated entities that at times have made record profits,
mm-hmm.
and now they're saying, oh, if you lose money, we want to insulate you against that lost money by giving you a full
mm-hmm.
tax credit, not even a partial, but a full tax credit. And
for the full amount. And Irene, here's my question to you as an attorney. Who determines their lost revenue?
I mean, that's going to be the question. The question is, usually you're going to be basing on your balance sheet. Okay?
By them telling us what their lost revenue is.
And keep in mind, there are individuals, and I'll give you an example of a gentleman that lives in the first ward, and he's an older gentleman, but he jobs around. He was still paying on his gas bill from last winter in September. He said, "Ms. Smith, I just made my last payment." So what is your lost revenue? Because people may not be able to pay. Okay, so how can you determine
right.
what revenue you
right.
have lost that is based on the cold weather rule, or revenue that you lost simply because people were unable to pay?
Wait a minute. Let me just try to work through how this works. I'm behind on my electric bill.
Right.
Okay. The weather, the temperature drops. Okay. They were supposed to come and cut off my electric on Monday, but the temperatures dropped, so they couldn't come and cut it off until 2 weeks later when the temperatures went back up. Okay. I get my electricity back on. I am paying for all that I have, all I owed. So what would be
the lost revenue?
You're getting your money.
You're getting your money. And I
also pay for you to turn it back on. There's an additional fee for that. So what is the lost revenue?
How do you calculate the lost revenue? That's going to be, administrative nightmare. Who determines that? I believe that this is going to be based upon the balance sheets or whatever they report as lost revenue. I mean, the state, I don't see the state going on in administratively, I guess the Public Service Commission going in and calculating what your lost revenue is.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be up to the utility company. And keep in mind, we're talking about, this is state tax liability.
That's right.
At a time when, okay, we've had a little up in revenue, at a time when considering the things that has hit the state this year, this summer, this winter. Here someone is introducing some legislation to give a public utility, which has a monopoly.
And makes, they've never not made money.
Right.
They've never, ask businesses out there how many years that they've gone where they haven't made any money. This is a company that has never not made money. They've always made money.
But regardless of whether or not you make money or not, you have to pay for your utilities.
Fact.
But according to Jane Cunningham, if a public utility loses money.
Says they lose money.
Says they lose money.
We can't find out if they lost money.
We can't say if they lost money. According to her, they should be given a full amount, a full credit. For the full amount of lost revenue they incurred due to the cold weather rule.
Now, let's go back to a couple of things that you said. I want to underscore a couple of things that you said. The gall and the disconnect of Jane Cunningham and anybody that signs on to this bill up there in Jefferson City, you have the gall to say when people's lights still aren't on from these utilities still aren't on, you're going to introduce legislation tomorrow that gives the, and these folks are fixing to raise our electric rates by minimally $6 a month, on the average $6 a month. You are trying to give them a hustle and give them a break.
Oh yeah.
That's
not
the gall.
And keep in mind, say for an example, I mean, you don't even show a loss. It's not even required that you show a loss in that you don't have a profit, because certainly you're going to have a profit. What it says here is like, you can only take the credit up to the amount of your state tax liability, but you have 10 years to use it, so it can carry forth for 10 years into the future.
And let's look at these two words, lost revenue. That's not lost profit. That's just lost money.
Money coming in.
So Jane Cunningham is asking the legislators this Friday to sign on to a piece of legislation to help UE with their lost revenue. Not that they're not making profit. It's just they didn't get them some money. They're saying that they didn't get any money, some money in, because of this cold weather rule. How does a utility company lose money with the cold weather rule? How do you lose money?
What they're saying is that they're still having to expend and pay for that energy that they are still providing you has a cost to them.
But you pay for it when you get your bill.
But you pay for, but they're saying for, you're not paying for it right now. And what's ludicrous about this credit is that, hold on, during the winter, a lot of people are unable to pay their bill in full anyway.
Right.
And sometimes, many times, people pay up to the amount and make arrangements with the utility company that even the cold weather rule wouldn't even be applicable to them, because they have already made arrangement with the utility company to pay their bill.
Aren't people paying a late fee as well?
They're paying a late fee.
They're paying a late fee as well. So tell me, what lost revenue could you possibly have? Because if, let's say, for instance, you're supposed to cut off my electricity on Monday. For some reason or another, you can't get to my meter, okay? You can't get to my meter for 2 weeks after that. Is that lost revenue for you too? I mean, is that lost revenue for you, too?
The interesting thing is going to be, how do you calculate this lost revenue that is attributable to the cold weather rule as opposed to being attributable to people then simply not being able to pay their bill at all? And you take that coupled with the fact that Ameren UE is asking for a minimum of residential customers $6
a month.
Okay? And there will be a hearing on this. The Public Service Commission will be holding hearings on this. We're in. The day after New Year's.
Day after New Year's.
6 p.m.
6 p.m. the day after New
Year's. At Walls. You need to bust the walls out. You need to be there.
And here's the phone number for Jane Cunningham, because I think y'all need to give her a call and ask her if she's lost her mind or just simply misplaced it. The number is 573-751-1186. Ask her why she thinks UE needs a break and people's electricity is not even on because they haven't been cutting the trees. Give her a call at 573-751-1186. That's 573-751-1186. This is I on the Lou. I'm here with Irene J. Smith. I was getting hot
out
here.
Your pocket.
Okay. They appy. Shamelessly, they appy your pocket. Lost revenue. Wouldn't you like to get tax credit because you didn't make the money that you think that you should have made, and you get to tell them how much money you didn't make?
As if, though, the state of Missouri is in a position to lose revenue.
There you go. We're taking a break. Stay with us.
Good morning, St. Louis. 29 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Yahoo. Northbound 55 at Arsenal, the disabled bus in left lane. Traffic is slowing at 4500 South Broadway. Eastbound 40 between Clarkson and Mason. Look for congestion in pockets. Westbound 40 between McCausland and Hanley. No problems to report there. Westbound 270 at Bell Fountain and West Florissant. Look for stop and go traffic. Northbound 270 at 44. Look for slow traffic on either side of the interchange. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road through 79. It is slow go out there. Eastbound 40 between Spady and McKnight. Look for no delays. Northbound 55 from Russell through Poplar Street Bridge. Look for slow traffic going on there. Eastbound 70 at 270 and Lindbergh, look for delays there as well. Northbound Route 3 from 8th Street on the PSB, that approach is slow. Westbound 5570 from the Exchange into the Poplar Street Bridge, look for delays there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank through Landing, look for heavy volume going on there. Westbound 64 from Bowell Avenue to the 5570 interchange, it is slow. And all the traffic lights that you run across that are not working, please treat those as four-way stops. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Yahoo. It's Yahoo's Best of Answers 2006, tackling the year's toughest questions like, should you wait to refinance your house? Go to yahoo.com and click on Answers. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. Much colder today, mostly sunny, but it'll be blustery with a high only in the lower 20s for this evening, low around 10 and clear skies. For Friday, sunny with a high in the mid 30s. Friday evening, clear with a low in the mid 20s. And on Saturday, sunny skies with a high in the upper 40s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 20 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 20. The wind chill makes it feel like it's 5 degrees, so bundle up if you're going outside. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. It's Eye on the Lou with Irene J. Smith and Liz Brown. That's on the way. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else?
Where else, where else, where else indeed? Washers, dryers, refrigerators, stoves. How about dishwashers? How about big screen televisions? It's time to get your shop on and get your shop on at the best place in town with the best deals in town and the best reputation in town and the best products in town. 3425 Union Sears, the only Sears in the city of St. Louis. Get on down, get your shop on, and tell them I told you to.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of Connect Care's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At Connect Care, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At Connect Care, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
Kwanzaa Holiday Expo is back. Celebrate the 40th anniversary of Kwanzaa with Better Family Life, December 9th from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. and December 10th from 12 noon to 6 p.m. at the West End Community Center on Union at Del Mar. Do your holiday shopping with vendors from around the country. Learn about Kwanzaa in the Kwanzaa House. See P. Ty Williams, Matif, and many more artists. Don't forget, we have activities for children. And best of all, this event is free. For more information, call 314-367-3440. That's 367-3440.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Eye on the Lou with Irene J. Smith. Good morning. I'm just reeling from the boldness, the shamelessness of this act, the unbelievableness of this act, to ask for a hustle, a break for UE and the gas company whose prices have gone up too. They're not supposed to feel anything. They're not supposed to lose a dime.
I mean, you know, it's very interesting. You know, as we went about, because I didn't have a car, checking on senior citizens, those who did have heat and those who did not have heat because of the electrical ignition, you know, for your gas furnace.
Mm-hmm.
And then here you come, you got the gall.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what about a tax credit for those individuals who suffered through the storm during the summer, as well as this latest storm this winter?
And people had to do things this winter that they couldn't do during the summer. You couldn't for real go and sleep in your home, okay? In the summertime, you could sleep in your home, okay? You weren't going to die
right.
by sleeping in the way you came in
this world.
Get on
and
the
keep
ground.
Some water.
Okay.
And keep yourself, you know, hydrated.
You could go away and take a shower, but you wouldn't die from sleeping, for the most part, unless you were a senior or something like that. Here, people had to go get hotel rooms. People had to worry about whether the, and some people are going to have to pay money because their pipes have burst. So all of the stuff that we have suffered through because you didn't cut down any doggone trees. Now we have
talk about the tree cutting, and that's a dual responsibility. But I think the bigger issue that I hope will be looked in by the Public Service Commission is the extent to which Ameren UE cut their workforce.
Mm.
When they took over, Union Electric, mm-hmm. because that is one of the things as I listen.
It's kind of like what happened in the St. Louis Public Schools when the millions of dollars was given to Sodexo. They cut the workforce.
Right.
Cut the workforce.
Right. So I want to know how that impacted that as well. You know, I'd certainly take, if I had on a hat, I'd take it off to the millions, you know, the number of utility workers who are out there in the cold working 12, 13, 14 hours.
And freezing weather.
And freezing weather. This is not a criticism of them, and I know they're being paid, but that is still some difficult conditions to work in. But
remember when we saw that one worker when we were driving?
I mean, just totally, the brother was dead on his feet.
And all he said was, it's really bad out here.
But he was trying to do what he could do. Mm-hmm. This is about greed.
Mm-hmm. This is about absolute, complete greed, compounded by a legislator who is attempting to enable people in their greed. Jane Cunningham has introduced a piece of wants to introduce tomorrow a piece of legislation, because she sent this around to all the other legislators to sign on to, a piece of legislation, she's filing it on Friday, that allows utilities a tax credit on their state liability in the full amount of the lost revenue that they incur due to the cold weather rule. Outrageous. Outrageous. And the number for Jane Cunningham is 573-751-1186. That's 573-751-1186. You're on the wake-up call. I on the loop.
Hey, this is Brother Bob. How are you all this morning?
Outstanding.
Good morning, Brother Bob.
Brother Bob, y'all just wake me up all the time. Let me tell you, I did call. I anticipated getting the answer machine, which I did. And I left that information, you know, with State Representative Cunningham that this is not fair, that this we don't need that. What we need is to make sure that Ameren UE come and cut these trees down and everything. And I think it's so important when Attorney Brown and you, Attorney Irene J. Smith, put this information out. We get it. We must consistently follow through, make the phone calls, do the emails, the letters. It's so important because we notice now when we come out and vote, when we have the right information, which I see that the International Urban Institute is providing a lot of information. We're reading the papers. We're getting a lot of information from you all and other talk shows. Once we organize like and keep building on it, don't get disgusted. Don't say, well, we can't do anything. We are doing it. It may not look like it, but it's so important that we make those phone calls and do the things that we know as a people that we have to do with the knowledge that we have. We make good decisions, like y'all always say, once we get the information. And thank you all. I wonder how you are going to meet this Saturday also.
Absolutely.
Yes, I mean, what more can you say? I think that, again, January the 2nd, mark your calendars. You know, don't go out. You know, New Year's Day is on a Monday. New Year's Eve is on a Sunday. Rest up Monday. Tuesday, be up at Wolves at 6 p.m. for the Public Service Commission hearing.
Where UE is trying to get to raise their rates.
Right. At an average, I think they estimate about $6 a household residential.
You're on Eye on the Loop.
Good morning, Irene, and good morning, Liz.
Charles Quincy True.
my electric is finally back on. I thought you might be interested in knowing that.
Yeah, this is really crazy, but I think the bigger picture is who controls the Public Service Commission.
Ah.
The Public Service Commission is controlled by the utilities. I don't know what Gene Cunningham is doing. For the 24 years I was in the Missouri House, nobody ever had to introduce any kind of legislation to give the utilities a pay raise because they are guaranteed a profit in the state of Missouri as a monopoly. They're guaranteed, I think, a 6% profit by the Public Service Commission. They've never had or requested anything from the Public Service Commission that they didn't get something. So the Public Service Commission serves the interests of the utilities. The Public Service Commission, when I was chairman of Energy and Atomic Energy, my staff recommended that the Public Service Commission be elected and that a commissioner be elected from each congressional district, just like the congressman, whereby the people would have some control and have some input into their destiny. Right now, the Public Service Commission is appointed by the governor and recommended by mainly the utilities.
Mm. Hmm.
So the Public Service Commission ain't no solution to the problem. They have historically been the problem.
Mm.
And they are the problem. They, now, listen to what I'm saying. The utilities are guaranteed a profit.
How sweet it is.
And now they want to give them something over and above the profit that they're guaranteed by giving them tax credits. That is completely insane.
Jane Cunningham has introduced a piece of legislation that allows utilities a tax credit on their state tax liability in the full amount of the lost revenue they incur due to the cold weather rule.
Well, you know, that is glutton. It just makes no sense. Let me tell you this about the tree cutting. I went to a lot of block units. We, as block units and individuals, we call UE and call their lobbyists to the board and everybody else with on conference calls. The trees that we was trying to get cut down before June 19th, before the snow, they didn't cut them. And the trees that were severely damaged during that storm was not cut. And that's why you're having the kind of destruction you have now, because the city and UE didn't cut their trees. A lot of the trees that fell on my constituents' lawns and properties, as I go around and look, a lot of the trees that came down was on LRA property. And just like on my block, we had LRA trees that fell and damaged my neighbor's next door service, electrical service.
So who pays for that?
Well, that's my point. You know, LRA trees are falling, and LRA is a major problem because it's a state entity. You know, it's a creature of the state. Let me just say that. But the city has controlled a lot of control and input. The tree cutting was totally on Carter. We had trees that we had recommended be cut by the city and UE. And the 4800 block of Carter, none of those was cut. And all of those trees came down. 90% of the trees are re-recommended and called in and asked to be cut. Like on my, behind my house. It fell on my house in, before July 19th and fell again this Thursday.
Thanks for your call. Thanks for your call, Quinn.
All right.
Listen, folks, we're taking a break. This is Eye on the Loop. I'm here with Irene J. Smith. We're taking a quick break. Stay with us. Hi, this is Liz Brown, and it's that time of year again when Wake Up Call listeners reach out and warm hearts all over St. Louis. That's right. It's the third annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive. The Blanket Drive will take place on December 15th with a live remote at 7 a.m. at the George Washington Carver House. We'll have pickup and drop-off here at the station and at Carver House starting at 6 a.m. So you don't have a lot of time. It's been a really warm winter. Mark your calendar for Friday, December 15th, and bring your blankets. Once again, we are warming hearts all over St. Louis.
This is your WGNU Global News Update. Dateline Tel Aviv. The ultra-Orthodox leaders in Israel are warning that harsh steps will be taken if El Al doesn't refrain from flying on the Sabbath. The national airline typically doesn't fly from Friday afternoon to Saturday evening in observance of the Jewish Sabbath. However, due to a nationwide strike last week, the airline decided to permit flights to make up for those delayed during the strike. According to Haaretz, this has outraged some people in the ultra-Orthodox community. Orthodox Jews don't permit the use of electricity, driving, flying, writing, or anything else considered work on the Sabbath. It is a day reserved for prayer, family, and rest. Leaders from the ultra-Orthodox community say that unless the airline will sign a legal document promising not to fly on the Sabbath, the community will boycott El Al. This is your WGNU Global News Update, sponsored by Reasonable Construction.
Stop putting it off. Reasonable Construction has reasonable pricing to get the work done now. Reasonable Construction can perform all your rehab, repair, and remodeling projects for commercial and residential. 314-382-2200. Reasonable Construction has in-house payments and home improvement loans. They accept all major credit cards. Call today for your free estimate. 314-382-2200. For more information, go to their website, www.reasonableconstruction.com.
Make your holiday exciting by celebrating Christmas New Orleans style.
Come for the food.
Come for the art.
Come for the history.
Come for the sweet sounds of jazz.
Visit NewOrleansOnline.com to plan a December getaway filled with Réveillon feasts, free concerts, French Quarter shopping, and all the excitement of Harrah's Casino. And make it last with discounted hotel rates, courtesy of Papa Noel himself. Visit NewOrleansOnline.com today to get your free guide with more than $2,400 in coupons and jazz up your December New Orleans style.
Come for the fun.
Come feel good.
Come for the beauty. Come for the
spirit, heart, and soul.
Come for it all.
Come fall in love with New Orleans all over again.
Discover Christmas New Orleans style at NewOrleansOnline.com.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to Eye on the Loo. My name is Liz Brown. I am here with Irene J. Smith. We have another story that we want to share with you, another story that we want to break with you, a story that is coming out of, also I guess it's Jefferson City oriented. I think it's Jefferson City based here, a story that has to do with an appointment that is fixing, actually we had something that's never happened before, a unity in
among educators.
A unity among educators. Talk to
education
us about
groups.
Yes, talk to us about this.
The many educators are lobbying against the appointment of, I believe, Danielle Whitmore Smith.
Mm-hmm.
To DESE.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, this sister, I think, is the head of the Choice.
Right.
Mm-hmm. In the state of Missouri. And she has been appointed basically to oversee.
Well, it's anticipated that she's going to be appointed.
It's anticipated mm-hmm. that she has been nominated
right.
by the governor. There will be hearings in January.
Mm-hmm.
Education groups have already galvanized to oppose her appointment.
And we're talking about the Education Roundtable. That's made up of 8 administrators, teachers, and parent groups. In fact, the news story that's coming out of the Jefferson City area is that they have never seen a gathering together like this in opposition of any one person in the history of this commission. They've never seen people coming together and saying that, here's the thing, she is very open in her support of vouchers and is school choice and is associated with All Children's Matter. That's what Brent Gann, the Missouri Board of Missouri School Boards Association spokesperson said. This is very troubling. This is very, very troubling. And here's the interesting piece to me, Irene, is that this could be stopped dead in the water because Jeff Smith doesn't have to bring her name up. If he doesn't bring her name up, then it's done.
Yeah, and that's going to tell the story on you know, as he continued through his campaign saying that I don't support vouchers.
That's right. That's right.
I support charter schools. These are public schools, but I don't support vouchers.
Right.
Well, the proof will be in the pudding of Danielle Whitmore Smith. to see whether or not he supports her nomination to DESE. Keep in mind, people will say, well, we're talking about education, improving education.
No.
We're talking about public education.
That's right. That's right.
Public education. And people can come up with all of these names about choice, this, that, and the other. But the idea is that you're taking public dollars to give it to private entities. And basically you're privatizing public education.
Mm-hmm. And
without having the same checks and balances that are put on and the challenges and requirements that are put on public schools.
And another piece to this is that Senator Pat Daugherty, he was also handed her name from this administration, and for the Board of Elections in the city of St. Louis. And like this commission is just like the Board of Elections in the city of St. Louis, it has to be Republican and Democrat, and she was being offered as a Democrat. There is no record of anywhere that she's a Democrat. So Jeff Smith would be appointing somebody, would be submitting the name of someone as the Democratic representative on this commission that has no history of being a Democrat. So mm-hmm. Jeff Smith has two things in front of him. Are you a Democrat? Number one, because why would your first appointment, first name recommendation, not be someone that you went and found, someone that Matt Blunt brought to you, and that has no record as a Democrat? And secondly, you had your little people come to our International Urban Institute meeting saying, you know, do you know the difference between choice and vouchers? Well, let's see if your candidate knows the difference between vouchers and charter schools. If he nominates this woman, if he submits her name, he's saying, yeah, I'm down with the vouchers too.
Yes. And I mean, and that's very clear. I mean, anyone who wants to go out and start a school, Marva Collins did a fantastic job. Individuals should have support, and you can financially give support. But if you're going to get public dollars, mm-hmm. then you should be subject to the same responsibilities and criterias that public schools are subject to, if you're going to get those dollars. But the vouchers, as they are set up today, is to give money to private entities with no check and balance in terms of how they perform. So it's not just about choice.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not just about choice.
It's not, well, and it's a false, I think that it's a false choice. Because if you're saying we're giving a child a choice at a better education, what choice are you giving them? You don't know how these private schools perform because they won't let you let
exactly.
them know.
Exactly.
You don't know how your baby is going to, whether your baby is going to graduate because they won't let loose the numbers of how our babies do when they go to those schools. You're not giving, it's a fake. You're not offering them choice of any kind.
And if they were concerned about really improving public education, we know what improves public education.
Smaller classrooms. Better paid teachers.
Safe environments, more parental involvement, okay?
And three of those we have control over. Two of those we have control over. We have control over whether they're smaller classrooms. We have control over whether that we can pay teachers more and the environment that our babies are living
exactly.
in.
Exactly. Better teachers, okay? We have control over those things. So why are we using those tax credits to create those opportunities in public schools to give more money? You want to give a corporation a tax credit? Well, then, if they give a certain amount of money to a public school, then give them a tax credit for that to reduce the class size in public schools.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I look at it and I talk to parents that send their kids to charter schools, they say to me, well, you know, they going over stuff that we went over the year before
mm-hmm.
in a public school. But primarily the reason why many of them send their kids to charter schools is because they perceive the environment as being a safer environment. That may not always be the case, but in a lot of instances compared to maybe their neighborhood school, that may in fact be the case. So if that is one of the issues, why are we not addressing that in the context of public education where we do have oversight, we do have criteria that you have to meet. But what they want to do, they want to take advantage of a parent's desire.
Mm-hmm. Love.
Love. And I certainly understand because I have been there, okay? And I'm glad I'm not there at this particular point in time of the crisis that we're going through with public education. But the fact of the matter is these are public dollars. They should be accounted for. And this fake choice that people are pushing, and some people that I love very much, and I understand what they're saying. But when I talk to the individuals who are now jumped on the bandwagon of choice, These are parents who have never been involved in the public school system. When we were going through the struggle with the public school system 3 years ago and the struggle continues, I've never seen them at a Board of Education meeting. And you ask them, are you involved in your child's school? Well, I don't really know when the PTO meeting meets. Are you involved in the parent assembly? Oh, well, I don't know really.
So you're out here advocating for something, but you don't know anything about. That's
right.
Your bottom line. And will cause great harm if this is allowed to happen.
And plus the question is, okay, you get the money to a portion of the money to send your kid to a private school or whatever. What happens when your kid gets put out? Your kid is going to end up back in public education. Question, does that money follow the kids back?
No.
Absolutely no. It stays with the private schools. So I believe that there certainly needs to be a more open public dialogue about this, and folks need to stop playing on people's emotions and playing on their desires to have a better education for their children. And we all understand that.
But the other piece of it is also, Irene, is do not allow yourself to submit to this idea that if it's private, it must be better.
Let me give you an example.
Do your homework.
My mother sent us to private school, to Catholic school. She scrubbed floors to do so because she wanted us to have a religious education, okay, which it should be separate and apart, okay? But in addition to that, when my daughter was going to a Catholic school, and I won't name it, the teacher said, this is no longer challenging enough for Marshalene. You need to get her in a much more challenging environment. And I was paying tuition to send her there because I wanted her to have a religious-based education. I took her out of a Catholic school. She went to Gateway Middle, and she graduated from Gateway High School. So just because it's Catholic does not make
or
it
private.
Or private does not make it better.
And we got to let that be the last word. Listen, folks, this is Eye on the Loo. I'm here with Irene J. Smith. Don't forget International Urban Institute. Blanket drive on the 15th.
Blanket drive. We need blankets, Alderman Troop. I let you off the phone before. I made a challenge to you. We need to get 100 blankets out of the first ward for the blanket drive. Issue a challenge to your other colleagues on the Board of Aldermen. This is for the people. This is not for Irene and Liz. We have blankets. We need blankets for the blanket drive.
Be back.
Did you hear that, Howard?
Yeah, help.
Come and trim my Christmas tree with some decor.
On the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. Their work is done, but the report, however, is still has a lot of questions. Today, members of the Iraq Study Group are heading to Capitol Hill for what could at times be a grilling from the Senate Armed Services Committee. Former Indiana Congressman Lee Hamilton, one of the panel's co-chairs, says the goal is simple.
What we're trying to do here is transfer combat mission from the United States, where we've been receiving a lot of casualties lately, to the Iraqi government.
More from ABC Steve Taylor in Washington.
Commission members will lay out their recommendations in an intensely political atmosphere. Senate Democratic leader Harry Reid has already put his spin on the report.
Iraq Study Group is a rejection of the policies of the Bush administration, the war in Iraq.
And Republican Senator Rick Santorum, leaving office next month, has already called the report a prescription for surrender.
Certainly not a prescription for victory. Nowhere is it mentioned other than the fact that, of course, we'd like victory.
Steve Taylor, ABC News, Washington.
The U.S. military says its thoughts are now with the families of the 10 service members killed in Iraq. More than 30 U.S. troops have been killed so far this month. A bleak picture of life in Afghanistan 5 years after the fall of the Taliban. More on an ABC News BBC poll.
The Taliban regime in Afghanistan ended with the fall of Kandahar 5 years ago today, but this poll shows they're back. More than 4 in 10 Afghans across the country report Taliban attacks in their own local area, and 57% now call the Taliban the country's greatest threat, up sharply in the last year. The Taliban have very little popular support, but their renewed activities have contributed to a sharp decline in public optimism in Afghanistan.
That's ABC News polling director Gary Langer. The survey has a 3.5-point margin of error. Authorities in Oregon are waiting on the results of an autopsy on James Kim. The California man's body was found yesterday not far from where his family was stranded in a snowstorm. He was on foot to look for help. Kim's wife and daughters rescued earlier this week. ABC News.
Hi, Susie. Thanks for watching my kids.
Good timing. I'm making rich chocolate Ovaltine.
Ooh, my kids love chocolate milk.
So do mine, but I didn't make it for them. This Ovaltine's for us.
Really?
Hey, adults love the taste, too. Plus, I drink rich chocolate Ovaltine every day because it's high in calcium and antioxidants like vitamins A, C, and E. Ovaltine even has iron I need, which I can't get from Nesquik powder or milk alone.
Mmm, Ovaltine is good.
And it's loaded with vitamins and minerals. Nesquik powder doesn't come close.
More Ovaltine, please.
I'm buying gifts at the Home Depot. Number 3, the tools my husband wants. Number 2, a flashlight my son needs. And number 1, finding something for everyone on my list at prices I want.
Right now, the Home Depot has a Ryobi 9.6-volt drill kit with battery, bit set, and case for only $24. And all in-stock Maglite flashlights are 20% off. Who couldn't use one of those? The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Valid in U.S. only through December 13th. See store for details.
U.S. only. See store for details.
A smoking ban in one state means it's butts out in bars, restaurants, and bigwigs. ABC's Joan Bennett explains.
One Cleveland-area trucker says when you get sleepy, you light up a cigarette and it keeps you awake. Trucking companies say 40 to 75% of their drivers smoke, but under the law passed by Ohio voters last month, cabs of big rigs and panel trucks are off limits to smoking. The provision was designed to protect employees from secondhand smoke in vehicles used by more than one person, even if the driver is solo. There are exemptions for family-owned businesses and out-of-state truckers. The Ohio Trucking Association is lobbying lawmakers to exempt all drivers. Joan Bennett, ABC News.
You should be worried if your kid is drinking or on drugs, and a new study says you should be even more worried if none of their friends are. It says teens who use the substances when they're alone are more likely to have mental and behavioral problems as young adults than those who do in social situations. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brian Meyer with your WGNU news update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, a suspect is hospitalized after being shot by a St. Louis police officer. Police say four suspects led officers on a chase in a stolen car in North St. Louis last night before fleeing on foot near Kossuth and North Newstead. One of the suspects allegedly pointed a gun at an officer who shot him in the arm. The suspect's injuries aren't considered serious. He and two other suspects were taken into custody, but one woman remains at large. Florissant's community centers are back to normal operations. The James J. Egan and John F. Kennedy centers are no longer serving as 24-hour storm shelters. City officials are now turning their attention to cleanup. Florissant City crews will collect tree limbs from curbs, or residents can bring tree limbs to a drop-off area next to the park maintenance building on Charbonneir Road. Congressman Russ Carnahan says the Iraq Study Group's report deserves serious consideration.
This Iraq Study Group report presents an opportunity for a new direction, but much must be done in order to ensure the president's failed policy of stay the course is replaced with actions that better protect our troops and promote stability across the Middle East.
The report released yesterday claims the current U.S. approach in Iraq isn't working and warns that Iraq could slide into chaos unless changes are made. Finally this hour, St. Louis Post-Dispatch baseball columnist Rick Hummel will be enshrined in Cooperstown. Hummel is this year's winner of the Baseball Hall of Fame's J.G. Taylor Spink Award for Excellence in Baseball Writing. He joins the late Cardinals announcer Jack Buck and former Post-Dispatch sports editor Bob Bragg. This WGNU News report is brought to you by Yahoo, Yahoo's Best of Answers 2006, where you can find the smartest questions and answers. Like, is coffee bad for your skin? Go to yahoo.com and click on Answers. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Bryantmeyer for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Kmart. Westbound 40 between Woods Mill, look for an accident. It's been cleared, but there may be some delays. Westbound 70 at the stream through Kings Highway, there's an accident. Left lane is blocked. Eastbound 40 from 141 through McKnight, look for slow traffic in pockets of westbound 40 between McCausland and Hanley, look for slow traffic Westbound 270 from Bell Fountain to West Florissant. Look for stop and go traffic. Northbound 270 at Tesson Ferry and Marshall Road. Look for slow traffic as well. Eastbound 70 at Bryan Road and 79. Look for delays. Eastbound 70 between 270 and Lindbergh. There's also some delays going on there. Northbound 55 at Loughborough and 44. Heavy volume going on there. Westbound 64 between McKnight and Lindbergh. Look for slow traffic. Southbound 270 between Big Bend and 44. Look for delays in the right lane. And all your approaches into the Poplar Street Bridge, you can expect delays due to the morning rush, as well as the King Bridge is backed up from 5570 into the landing. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Kmart. You know those Christmas gifts that just make you feel warm all over? Kmart has them. Get cozy outerwear for the whole family at 40% off. Hurry, sale ends on Sunday, December 10th. Kmart, where Christmas comes together. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. For today, blustery, colder, mostly sunny, but the high will only be in the lower 20s. For this evening, clear with a low around 10. For Friday, sunny with a high in the mid-30s. And Saturday, sunny with a high in the upper 40s. Currently, we have 15 degrees outside. Lambert Field is reporting 15 as well. The wind chill outside makes it feel like it's zero, so please bundle up if you're headed to the bus stop or anywhere outside at all, if at all possible. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather, but up next is Justice for Reggie right here on AM 920 WGNU.
Baby, just slip a sable under the tree for me. Been an awful good girl, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa baby, a 54 convertible to light blue. I'll wait up for you, dear Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Think of all the fun I've missed. Think of all the fellas that I haven't kissed. Next year I could be just as good if you check off my Christmas list. Santa baby, I want a yacht, and really that's not a lot. Been an angel all year, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa honey, one little thing I really need, the deed to a platinum mine, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa cutie, and fill my stocking with a duplex and checks. Sign your X on the line, Santa cutie, and hurry down the chimney tonight. Come and trim my Christmas tree with some decorations bought at Tiffany. I really do believe in you. Let's see if you believe in me. Santa baby, forgot to mention one little thing, a ring. I don't mean on the phone, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Hurry down the chimney tonight.
welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. My name is Liz Brown, and because it is Thursday at 8 o'clock, that means it is time for Justice for Reggie. And I am joined here, as I am every Thursday morning at 8 o'clock, with Jamala Rogers, by Jamala Rogers. Jamala, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm a little bit saddened this morning, and you all were talking on the Eye of the Loo about the utilities. And I just want to make a connection with Justice for Reggie. One of the members of the Organization for Black Struggle was found dead as a result of the power outage. And Vince Terrell, as people know, was very active in the community, and he had was part of the reconstitution of the Black Artist Group from the early 70s and late 60s, and was very excited about them doing a fundraiser for Reggie. And so we really need to mourn the loss of Vince Terrell and send out our sympathy to the family of Vince.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I also think it's interesting that today they were reporting that, and it's really just really hard to wrap my mind and put words together for this, but Jay Nixon has submitted his brief saying that it is not wrong to not have a standard for execution, lethal execution. You don't need a doctor, and it is fine the way that we are doing it. That has been the response of the man who wants to be the next governor of the state of Missouri on this day. Today, that's the brief that he has filed in response.
And I don't think we should be surprised by that, Liz, because this is the person who signed off on Dr. Alan Dierhoff's disclosure to show that he, in fact, was in violation of the American Medical Association and had numerous malpractice suits against him, as well as had been barred from various hospitals. So he hid that information from the citizens of Missouri, knowing full well that the doctor was dyslexic, was giving incorrect dosages of the lethal injection cocktail. So this is very consistent behavior.
And he's also the man that has gone after and gotten Reginald Clemens and put him on death row.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, he went and got him. When Reggie was not, he went and got him to put him back on death row in anticipation of his move toward trying to his political campaign to become the next governor of the state of Missouri. So it's all connected, and that's one of the things that we talk about and do on this show every week. Everything is connected, and we're going to be having a conversation when we come back with Saul Kasson. He's a psychology professor at John Jay College of Criminal Justice in New York City, and we're going to be talking about false confessions. You think somebody would confess to something that they didn't do? People say that all the time.
They
I would never do that. I would never
How
do that.
How could somebody?
And, I would never do that.
Right.
Okay, we're going to talk about that when we come back with Saul Kasson. Stay with us.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
Hi, this is Liz Brown, and it's that time of year again when Wake Up Call listeners reach out and warm hearts all over St. Louis. That's right, it's the third annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive. The Blanket Drive will take place on December 15th with a live remote at 7 a.m. at the George Washington Carver House. We'll have pickup and drop-off here at the station and at Carver House starting at 6 a.m. So you don't have a lot of time, it's been a really warm winter. Mark your calendar for Friday, December 15th, and bring your blankets. Once again, we are warming hearts all over St. Louis.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
To Justice for Reggie. My name is Liz Brown. I'm here with Jamala Rogers, and our guest this hour on Justice for Reggie is Saul Kassin, a psychology professor at John Jay College of Criminal Justice in New York. Professor, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good, good.
Very good. Professor, let me hear, like Jamala just said, you know, that people often say in criminal cases, how could somebody confess to something that they didn't do? And what is your take on, what is your response to that?
Well, you know, there's two myths that have to get exploded when it comes to confessions. The first is I'd never confess to a crime I didn't commit. And the second is I'd know a false confession if I saw one.
Mm.
As far as the first is concerned, it is an almost universal reaction. People cannot imagine a circumstance in which they would confess to something they didn't do. But then again, they have no idea what it would be like to be under the grips of a police interrogation.
Mm. And you did a study, right?
I've done a number of studies for a number of years, yes.
Okay, talk to us about one of the studies that, before we get to that, tell us about the two things that have to happen in order to get a false confession.
Well, I'm not sure there was just two things, mm-hmm. but generally, if you look at the false confessions that are out there, and I think it's important for your audience to know that we're not talking about theory or speculation or anything particularly abstract here. If you simply look at the DNA exonerations, these are the cases we now are certain in which people were wrongfully convicted because DNA exonerated them. In those cases, 25% of them had confessions in evidence.
Mm.
And if you break those cases down into the subsample of murder cases, in other words, people who were convicted for murder and then later exonerated by DNA, two-thirds of them had confessed.
Mm.
And that's a jarring number because we know that the DNA exoneration, most cases don't leave DNA traces. So DNA exonerations represent a small sample, just a fraction of the total number of wrongful convictions.
So if you extrapolate out from that, it's stunning what the possibilities could be.
It is. I wouldn't attach a number, but yes, it is stunning in my mind as to what the possibilities can be.
So one of the things that you say that there are a couple of factors on that would that need to occur in order to get a false confession. Can you tell us what those are?
Sure. Well, I mean, sometimes people will actually give a voluntary false confession. There are a number of cases just like that. Carr in the JonBenet Ramsey recently gave a confession to the JonBenet Ramsey murder. And that looks like it may have been, if it's a false confession, false confession, in which he essentially handed the authorities a confession to something he didn't do. And that happens with some degree of regularity.
And that was a well-heeled confession, campaign and caviar confession.
Exactly. And we don't really know what he had encountered in Bangkok and what his interrogation was like, but there's some indication that he had been, in one way or another, taking responsibility for that crime for several years. So it looks like it may have been a voluntary false confession. But the more problematic kinds of confessions are the ones that come about through police interrogation. And when you understand something about modern American police interrogation, you start to realize that, in fact, it is a very, very powerful influence technique. You know, we tend to think that because the third-degree tactics have mostly been abandoned, I say mostly because the Reggie Clemens case is one of, a number of exceptions. But basically, the physical approach to interrogation has been replaced by a psychological approach. The problem is people seem to think that the psychological approach doesn't apply as much pressure. It applies every bit as much pressure.
And with no evidence that it occurred.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, what basically happens if you look at a modern American police interrogation, you can essentially say three things are going on. First, they isolate the suspect. It's a situation of extreme privacy and secrecy. They put the suspect away from everything and everyone that is familiar. And that's not a small detail, because when people are under great stress, and in fact you can see this in the working of the body and the immune system, when people are under great stress, and when they're without people who they find supportive, they become extremely stressed and will do just about anything to remove themselves from that situation. And so when a suspect is isolated in the stressful confines of a police interrogation room and has no access to friends or family, that suspect is now in a state of psychological urgency and will do just about anything, given enough time, to remove himself from that situation.
And, Professor, don't the police also do another thing? They remove people, like you say, but then they put them in a room by themselves and they leave them there by themselves. And then they, in order to allow the mind to do its work.
Exactly. Exactly. It's and again, there's just ample research showing that people can tolerate a certain degree of stress so long as they're in the presence of friends and others and social support.
Mm.
As soon as you remove that, the stress takes its toll and it takes it almost immediately. And it what it does is it increases that suspect's incentive to do whatever it takes to get out of that situation. And that becomes the incentive for confession, even if it's a false confession. So isolation is sort of a necessary prerequisite. You will notice as you look across false confessions, you're never getting false confessions out in diners and living rooms. You're getting it in a police interrogation room, set aside in private, away from everybody and everything. And so that does, what that does, again, is it increases the incentive to escape. Once that's accomplished, two things then happen as a matter of interrogation. One is the suspect is confronted with accusations of guilt. Eventually, the police will say, look, we know you did it. We don't want to hear any more lies. Tell us what you did.
And by an authority figure. That's an important point, too, right?
An authority figure who has power over you and who has information, or so you think, about the crime. And that's important because when confrontations are made and the suspect continues, and sometimes the sessions go for hours, and the suspect for hours is denying any involvement, and every denial is met with the statement, you're lying. We know you did it. And in the United States, not in most countries, but in the United States, those denials are met not only with confrontations, but police are allowed to lie about the evidence.
Mm-hmm.
And so if the suspect says, but I had no involvement, I wasn't there, I don't know anything about it, you tell me I'm a liar, but I didn't do it, the police might then turn around and say, well, then how do you explain the fact that we have your fingerprints on the murder weapon?
When they don't.
That isn't true.
Mm-hmm.
They may stage a lie detector test and give feedback that the suspect failed it. They may claim he was identified by witnesses. They may claim they have his hair, shoe prints, footprints, whatever. And all of that is legal. The U.S. Supreme Court in 1969 argued that those tactics, that trickery and deception is legal because it doesn't put innocent people at risk. Well, to be honest, they're wrong about that. Virtually every false confession I've seen contains, if not physical violence, then among the psychological interrogations, contains evidence of the use of this false evidence trick.
And let me ask you this as a psychology professor. When you have an authority figure insist, and you have someone in isolation, someone who is scared out of their mind, fearful that something bad, harmful, physical may happen to them, does that kind of almost reduce a person down to a childlike state? Like when your parents said, I know that you did it, and, you know, even though you know you didn't, you think, well, they're saying it. They must be saying something true.
Yeah. No, in fact, it's interesting that you say that because I have for often have said that when it comes to police interrogation, all of us adults are like children. We become incredibly naive. We don't really know what the rules of the game are. We are incredibly scared. We will do whatever it takes. And we become like children, very, very short-term focused. When people are under great stress, they will do whatever it takes to stop that stress. And as far as the long-term bad consequence, for example, giving a confession to a crime I didn't commit, well, I'll cross that bridge when I get to it. Mentally, I just have to get out of this situation, and I'll worry about the rest later.
And have you you've done some experiments?
Yes.
Is that the right word for it? Experiments?
Yes.
With students to prove this out.
Yes.
Okay, and I'd like to talk to you about some of those, but let's take a break right quick. I'm talking to Saul Cashin. He's a psychology professor at John Jay College of Criminal Justice in New York City. I'm here with Jamala Rogers. This is the Justice for Reggie Hour. Stay with us. We will be back.
Good morning, St. Louis. 28 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Kmart. Westbound 70 after Shreve, that accident's been cleared. Expect delays. Westbound 70 and West Florissant, look for an accident there. Two left lanes are blocked. Eastbound 70 at Goodfellow, there's an accident. Left lane is blocked as well. Eastbound 40 between 141 and McKnight, look for slow traffic in pockets. Westbound 40 between McCausland and Hanley, look for slow traffic there as well. Westbound 270 between Bell Fountain and West Florissant, look for stop-and-go traffic. Northbound 270 from Sappington through Marshall, it is slow. Eastbound 70 from T.R. Hughes through 79, look for slow traffic there, as well as from 270 into St. Charles Rock Road. It is slow there as well. Northbound 55 from Loughborough through 44, very heavy volume there. 270 southbound at Big Bend and 44 is slow. All your approaches into the Poplar Street Bridge, you can expect delays for that final push in morning rush hour, as well as Kingbridge traffic, look for delays coming westbound. And all the traffic lights that are not working in the St. Louis metropolitan area and surrounding areas, if you roll up to an intersection like that, treat it as a four-way stop. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Kmart. You know those Christmas gifts that make you feel warm all over? Kmart has them. Get cozy outerwear for the whole family at 40% off. Hurry. Sale ends Sunday, December 10th. Kmart, where Christmas comes together. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. For today, look forward to blustery, cold, and mostly sunny, but the high will only be in the lower 20s. For this evening, clear with a low around 10. For Friday, sunny, high in the mid-30s, and Sunday, sunny with a high around 40. Currently, we have 15 degrees and mostly clear skies. The wind chill makes it feel like it's zero, so bundle up if you're headed outside. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call that's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the top of the 9 o'clock hour. More of Justice with Reggie that's on the way right here on AM 920 WGNU.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else?
Where else, where else? Indeed, washers, dryers, refrigerators, stoves, every single thing that you need to make your house a home, your home a palace. You need a big screen television set? No problem. Get on down to 3425 Union. You need a new washer? You need a new dishwasher? You need a snowblower? I bet you do. Get on down to Sears. They have the best deals, the best customer service, and the best location. That is the trifecta of the shopping experience. Get on down to 3425 Union. I'm Liz Brown. Tell them I told you to.
For the issues that matter most to you, of course, it's AM 920 WGNU. This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA.
This is Decent Guy Don, the original conspiracy hunter. You know, the guy that keeps you up to date on all the good guys and the bad guys out of the Council of Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, the Illuminati crowd, and assorted other characters who are squeezing the life out of our great American country. Tune in every evening to hear the thunderous crash as I pull the linchpin from the foundations of the House of the New World Order as it crashes down. At 7 p.m. Monday through Friday with the conspiracy hunter right here at WGNU 920 a.m.
Hi, this
This is Liz Brown, and it's that time of year again when Wake Up Call listeners reach out and warm hearts all over St. Louis. That's right, it's the third annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive. The Blanket Drive will take place on December 15th with a live remote at 7 a.m. at the George Washington Carver House. We'll have pickup and drop-off here at the station and at Carver House starting at 6 a.m. So you don't have a lot of time. It's been a really warm winter. Mark your calendar for Friday, December 15th, and bring your blankets. Once again, we are warming hearts all over St. Louis.
Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net. The award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to Justice for Reggie Thursday. My name is Liz Brown. I'm here with Jamala Rogers. Our guest this hour is Saul Kasten, a psychology professor at John Jay College of Criminal Justice in New York. And, Professor, welcome back.
Thank you.
Talk to us about the experiment that you set up to demonstrate that false confessions aren't really that hard to get.
In fact, this was the first experiment of its kind that demonstrated it, and since there have been several. But in 1996, we published a paper in which we had students come into a laboratory to participate in a computer typing task. And before the task was to begin, the experimenter warned them that there was a glitch in the program, so whatever they should do, not hit the Alt key. He defined one of the keys on the keyboard as a key not to touch because the program would crash, he would possibly lose his data, the hard drive might crash. Basically two students came in at once, and one student did the reading and the other did the typing. And about a minute through the process, the experimenter explodes and said, "Oh my God, what just happened?" And looked and pretended that the computer had crashed and asked the subject if he or she had hit the Alt key, and they all said no. And in fact, we had pre-tested this situation, and we knew that nobody hit it. And he asked again. He did some fooling around on the keyboard, looked completely exasperated, asked again. They said no, at which point the experimenter turned to the second student who was doing the reading. And in fact, that second student was a Confederate working for us. And in half of the sessions, that Confederate, in response to the question, said, "No, I didn't see anything." In the other half of the sessions, she said, "Yes, actually, I saw him hit the key with his finger." At which point the blood drains from the subject's face, and the experimenter quickly handwrites a confession statement saying, "I hit a key I wasn't supposed to hit. I broke the computer. I take responsibility." He had indicated the experimenter that his professor was not going to be very happy about this. And he then takes that piece of paper and asks the subject to sign that confession. When the Confederate does not lie and does not give this false evidence, very few people confess. But in a condition where the Confederate lies about the evidence, the confession rate skyrockets.
Really?
In some cases to two-thirds, and in one condition where the subject had been typing very quickly and was lied to, 100% of the subjects signed a confession. And more shocking than that is a number of them actually believed that they had committed this act and had produced this outcome. When we then left them and poured them into the waiting room away from the experimenter, there was another student there supposedly waiting for the next session, but that student actually was working for us, and that student would then ask the subject what happened in there, and the subject would then tell the student what happened, and we would then code. We taped those sessions and coded what the subject had said, and a number of them had actually indicated that, to this other student, that they believed they had actually broken the computer.
Because they were told that they had.
Because they had a witness there who had apparently objective information.
So what's the conclusion that you draw from this?
Well, you know, it's clear when I look at that study, the reason we did it was I was interested in the hypothesis that a very, very powerful interrogation technique that can even get people to confess to things they didn't do is lying about the evidence. And more than that, there are a number of cases out there, and this experiment demonstrated this phenomenon for the first time. There are a number of cases out there where not only does somebody confess to a crime they didn't commit, they actually come to believe they did it. They get confused, And again, they're isolated. They have no sources of external cues to reality. And when an interrogator says, but we have your fingerprints, or in one case in Illinois, they said, your blood was found on your parents. And in one very shocking case, and this is another innocent false confessor who's still in prison in New York, his name is Marty Tankleff, he was 17 years old when he found his parents dead and immediately became the police suspect. And after hours of interrogation, the detective, he would not let Tankleff go into the hospital to be with his father, who was still alive, his mother was dead. At one point in the interrogation, the detective came back and said, Marty, I don't know how to tell you this. I've got good news and bad news. The good news is your father just came out of his coma and he's still alive. The bad news is he said you did it.
Oh, jeez. Oh, that's horrible. That's horrible.
And Tankleff just dropped. He said, oh, my God, my father never lies. He's the most trusted person in my life. If he said I did it, then I must have done it. And they proceeded to spend the next couple of hours constructing the story and the script for how he must have done this terrible thing he can't remember. The reason he agreed to do that was because if his father told him he did it, it must be true.
Well, there was another New York case that was pretty popular, and one that really struck me because the young people were so young and so innocent, and that was a case of the New York Park jogger. And all of those young people also confessed, and later on, after serving much time and their lives being totally destroyed, we find out that they were not, in fact, the ones, and the person confessed to the crimes.
Right. Five false confessions.
Five false confessions.
Does age make a difference, Professor?
Age does make a difference. I resonated to what you said earlier because I think that all of us adults are like children in the interrogation room, but children in particular are vulnerable. And when you look at known false confessions, children are disproportionately represented in those cases. The Central Park jogger case was an example where five of them had confessed. They were between the ages of 14 and 16. And there are other cases just like it. There's a case recently in Chicago in which the boys were exonerated. Four black youths, again, 16, 17 years old, one of them was 14, confessed. Two of them confessed to the murder, and then they were DNA exonerated and the actual culprits were found. There are a number of cases just like this, and the fact that there are multiple false confessions in a single case is not that unusual.
And what about, you've talked about where there's the authority figure and that there's somebody saying that they have some evidence that they don't have. What about the use of not actual violence but implied violence? What does that do to a confession rate?
Oh, well, over the years, the U.S. Supreme Court has absolutely banned the use of violence or the threat of violence or that kind of intimidation. I mean, that is one of the rules. You know, there aren't a lot of them, but one of the rules of interrogation is no violence and no threat of violence.
But I understand what the law says. I'm an attorney. I know what the law says, but I also know that people do things that either come close to the law, breaking the law, or actually do. When a cop comes in and puts their gun on the table,
yes,
you know, they don't say, I'm going to use the gun, or they don't say, I'm going to threaten you. What does a circumstance like that, irrespective of what the law says that they can't do, what does that do to increasing false confessions?
Oh, well, you can imagine. I mean, it doesn't even take a psychologist to figure that one out. It's, you know, if isolation creates the kind of stress and urgency that might motivate a false confession, you can only imagine what the threat of violence might do. Particularly to a 14, 15, 16-year-old kid who just doesn't know what the police are capable of doing and what they're willing to do. So the threat of violence is certainly a very powerful inducer. And, again, keeping in mind, people think they would never confess to a crime they didn't commit because they wouldn't put themselves at jeopardy like that. But when you're in that situation and urgency is pressing, you don't care about tomorrow. You just want to get out of the situation now. Sleep deprivation does it. Isolation does it. Certainly placing a weapon on a table would have that effect more than anything. And it raises another very important question. Confessions that are not videotaped, and I don't mean just the confession. I mean when a confession is taken and that full interrogation is not videotaped, how in God's name can a judge determine that that confession was voluntary?
Absolutely.
How in God's name can a jury determine that that confession was true if they don't see the process that produced it?
And I'm wondering, Professor Kasson, when it comes to the sort of confession of, say, a person who was raped, do you also consider that a false confession when someone is sort of coerced to believe that here is the suspect, he's already confessed? It's the same kind of thing, except now it's with the victim.
Right.
Oh, you mean telling the victim that somebody had confessed?
Right. Or getting them to identify this person either by saying, is this the person, and you keep showing them the picture again and again and again.
Right.
And do we also have, going on with what Jamala just said, the whole authority figure thing, when an authority figure, particularly one, not only just an authority figure, but one that has what the victim believes, lots of experience in criminal issues, if they come to you and either subtly imply or strongly imply that this is the person, who does the victim go with, their own mind or what the authority figure is saying?
Now you're really cutting to the core of a very important issue, and that is, and this is, you know, I'm going to interact a few things here. One of them, and I'm going to bring in the death penalty here. If people, with regard to the death penalty, don't have moral humanitarian concerns, they should certainly have very, very pragmatic concerns. And that is, so many people on death row had confessed. Confession is considered the gold standard in evidence.
Mm-hmm.
And yet confessions represent themselves in the population of DNA exonerations at a very high rate, at a scary high rate. When you ask that question, what effect would that confession have? Well, it's very interesting. When you go back and look at these confession cases, what happened to the alibis? In many of them that I've seen and been involved in, as soon as the individual confesses, the police go to the alibi and say, you know, you told us you were with him, but he confessed.
Mm.
The alibi goes, oh, maybe I got the day wrong.
Mm.
Witnesses reapproached after a confession, oh, well, maybe that was him after all. And so the confession, the gold standard of criminal evidence, has a way of corrupting and tainting everything else in the case.
And that's why it's so hotly pursued.
Exactly. Look at the Central Park jogger case that you mentioned earlier. Two juries convicted those boys in 1990 after they confessed in 1989. The confessions themselves were highly problematic. They were detailed with a number of accurate details, as many false confessions are. But they also contained a lot of contradictions and inconsistencies. And the juries said afterward they were somewhat bothered by the confessions. But there was this hair on one of the boys. And the forensic examiner came in and said the hair was consistent with the victim's hair. He didn't say it was hers. He didn't say it was a match.
I believe that you shouldn't be able to come in and say that because it's meaningless.
Exactly.
It's absolutely meaningless.
Take that hair and add to it a confession,
mm.
And now where there's smoke, there's fire.
Done and done.
Done and done.
Professor Saul Kasson is joining us from New York. He's a psychology professor at John Jay College of Criminal Justice, and we're talking about false confessions. I'm here with Jamala Rogers. My name is Liz Brown. This is Justice for Reggie Thursday. Stay with us.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis.
Sponsored by Reasonable Construction. Stop putting it off.
This is your WGNU Global News Update. Dateline the United Nations. Though U.S. Ambassador to the U.N. John Bolton will be leaving his post soon, don't expect him to soften his often tough remarks about outgoing U.N. Secretary General Kofi Annan. On Monday, Bolton was asked if there would be any healing process now that both he and Annan were leaving the U.N. Bolton replied, quote, nope, nobody's saying kumbaya. Speaking to reporters today before the Security Council resolution he drafted was passed, he laughed when asked if he might be offered a post working directly for the UN, adding that he would not accept even if he was. Bolton has refused to comment on his future plans, telling reporters today he will continue his policy of not answering questions about his personal life. Bolton offered his resignation to President Bush this week after acknowledging he would not find the needed support in the Senate to be confirmed as UN ambassador. Bolton is expected to leave the post by January 4th.
This is your WGNU Global News Update, sponsored by Reasonable Construction.
Stop putting it off. Reasonable Construction has reasonable pricing to get the work done now. Reasonable Construction can perform all your rehab, repair, and remodeling projects for commercial and residential. 314-382-2200. Reasonable Construction has in-house payments and home improvement loans. They accept all major credit cards. Call today for your free estimate. 314-382-2200. For more information, go to their website, www.reasonableconstruction.com.
Prizes awarded on WGNU will be held for pickup at the radio station for 30 days. After 30 days, all items become the sole property of WGNU Radio to be disposed of at our discretion. In the case of event tickets, tickets will be held for 30 days or until the date of the event, whichever comes first. Prizes must be picked up at our studios, which are located at 265 Union Boulevard in St. Louis, unless otherwise specified.
Kwanzaa Holiday Expo is back. Celebrate the 40th anniversary of Kwanzaa with Better Family Life, December 9th from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. and December 10th from 12 noon to 6 p.m. at the West End Community Center on Union at Del Mar. Do your holiday shopping with vendors from around the country. Learn about Kwanzaa in the Kwanzaa House. See Pita Williams, Matif, and many more artists. Don't forget, we have activities for children. And best of all, this event is free. For more information, call 314-367-3440. That's 367-3440.
Around the world and behind the story. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to Justice for Reggie Thursday. My name is Liz Brown. I am here with Jamala Rogers, the campaign director for the Justice for Reggie campaign. Our guest this hour is Saul Kasson, professor of psychology at John Jay College of Criminal Justice in New York, and we're talking about false confessions. Professor, Jamal and I were talking off the air about that horrific case that you shared with us about the cop that lied to the 17-year-old.
Yes.
We agree that that was like one of the worst that we've ever heard.
Yes.
Is that the worst you've ever heard, or are there other stories out there that compare?
It is. I reel when I hear some of the lies that are told to suspects who are already confused and under a great deal of stress and not thinking clearly. That is the worst. And in part it's the worst because he's 17 years old. In part it's the worst because they denied him an opportunity to be at the hospital with his father. And in part it's the worst because it wasn't the first lie they had told to him. They'd already given a couple of previous lies. He had said because they were confused. You know, they're accusing him of two brutal murders of his parents, and yet there's no blood on him. And they asked him, well, when did you shower? And he said, last night. And they said, well, we did an analysis on the shower drain, and it appears that the shower was used this morning. And that was a lie.
What kind of analysis is that?
Well, exactly. they made stuff up. I mean, they made stuff up. And then they said that his mother had hair in her grasp as a result of the struggle, and that they pulled the hair and it was his. And that was a lie. And, you know, you can just kind of imagine he's like a boxer, and he's, you know, he takes one hit and then he takes another hit, and just as his knees are wobbly, they level the knockout punch and tell him that his father said it was him. And, you know, he's confused, and they got him convinced at one point that he probably had done it in his sleep, that he may have sleepwalked and woken up late at night because he discovered their bodies early in the morning.
So what happened to him?
He, on the base, and this is how crazy and powerful confessions can be. He, after several hours of interrogation, the detective hand-wrote a statement, confession, that later we knew didn't even match the facts of the case. But he hand-wrote the confession, handed it to Marty Tankleff for a signature, and Tankleff, at that point, had come to his senses and wouldn't sign the confession. That confession was the only evidence against him. He went to trial on the basis of an unsigned statement written by the detective, and he was convicted.
Jesus.
And he was 17 years old, and he's still in jail today at the age of 35.
Jesus. When going back to the experiments that you did with the college kid,
They all signed their confessions without, did they read them?
They read them. They were not provided, they were not threatened with any particular kind of consequence, except that the professor may probably call them because the professor is very angry. But this experiment has been replicated in several labs in the world. And in one case, in the Netherlands, they led them to believe that they would have to pay, I think the number was 250 euros, the equivalent of about $300 for the damage, and they still got false confessions. And when we ran yet a more recent experiment in which we accused students of cheating in the experiment, which may have been a violation of the university honor code, we still got people under certain circumstances to confess something they didn't do.
Did anybody ever come, any of the students ever come back and say, you know, okay, now that I'm out of this dingy laboratory and I've come to my senses, I didn't do that?
Oh, yeah. A certain number of our students signed the confession while fully knowing they didn't do it. They just wanted to get out of there. The situation had become unpleasant. They were under a great deal of stress. The consequence wasn't that terrible in this situation, so they figured, you know what, let me just sign and get out of here. And then there was another sample of those students who not only signed but got confused and started to believe they actually had done it. When we first pretested this experiment, the first few students we ran, a couple of them didn't believe our debriefing afterwards. It's very important when you run an experiment like this that you debrief your subjects afterward and tell them they didn't really break the computer. And, you know, thanks for participating. I'm sorry I had to lie to you, but this is the reason we did it this way. And we had some students who said, no, I know I did it. You're just trying to make me feel better now. So we actually had to rework our debriefing so that we had a written protocol that we could hand to them and say, see, this was the protocol by script as to how this happened. And so it was that powerful that we actually got them to believe it. And it's remarkable, but there are a number of false confessors out there who didn't do it. They've been exonerated. And to this day, when you ask them, so did you do it, they say, I guess not, but I just don't remember anymore.
Mm.
They're confused.
Mm. And so when you talk to your students about whether or not somebody could make a false confession, do they say the expected thing?
When they always say impulsively, instinctively, no, of course not. I would never confess to a crime I didn't commit. It's interesting when you run students through an experiment like this, they start to recognize the possibility. You know, they'll say things like, geez, you know, when two people are accusing you and one of them says she saw it, and you start to wonder about yourself, maybe I did do it, maybe I didn't. And of course, we're talking about breaking a computer or in a subsequent experiment about cheating when they know they didn't cheat. But in some of these cases, and these are, you know, shocking, and it doesn't just happen to kids. It happens to, you know, there was a farmer in Illinois by the name of Gary Gogger, who's both his parents, he lived on a farm with them in Illinois, and both his parents were found dead. And for some reason, the police immediately suspected Gogger, who had no history of violence. They told him, again, they lied. They told him that his mother's blood was found on his bed and that he took a polygraph, and they told him that he failed it when, in fact, that wasn't true. And he ultimately got very, very confused, and after 19 hours of interrogation, he confessed, and he actually had come to believe that he had done it.
And imagine if a jury was able to see that it was 19 hours on film.
Exactly, and that's why that's so necessary. What the jury sees, it's like a Hollywood production. After 19 hours of scripting, of rehearsal, they finally bring that suspect to the point where that suspect can give not just a confession, but a very compelling, dramatic confession, filled with exquisite detail. And the jury sees that and that alone.
And then they fill in the blanks also in their mind of how this must have happened. The police walked in as soon as they met the guy. They asked the guy the question, and then he immediately confessed.
That's exactly right. And again, when you look at false confessions, when I mentioned at the outset, two myths. The first is I'd never confess to a crime I didn't commit. And the second is I'd know a false confession if I saw one. Well, no, you wouldn't.
How would
false you? Confessions are incredibly persuasive. Look at them. The false confessions, just like the true ones, when you go back and look at them, they contain all sorts of detail. Suspect says, this is what I did, this is how I did it, this is why I did it. They make statements about their motivations. These confessions often contain apologies and expressions of remorse. Mm. Corey Wise, one of those Central Park jogger defendants, 16 years old, not only did he give a 20-minute statement on videotape, he said, this was my my first rape, and I'm never going to do it again.
Oh, Jesus.
And he didn't do it.
And he didn't do it. And he didn't do it.
And the
other piece of it is that nobody actually gets to see the confession, because I think if most Americans did see the confession from beginning to end,
yes,
they would know that.
If there is a single reform that is absolutely necessary, and it has swept through some states at this point, but not enough, it is the reform to mandate the videotaping of interrogations.
From beginning to end.
From beginning to end. How can a judge determine it was voluntary, and how can a jury tell if it's true if they haven't seen the process?
Saul Kasson, psychology professor from John Jay College of Criminal Justice in New York, thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Fascinating work.
Absolutely. Thank you, thank you.
You're
happy holidays.
Thanks.
Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown. I am here with Jamala Rogers. That was amazing.
That was simply amazing. I knew that it was, but I didn't know to the depth that it was. I mean, because I think it does have implications when you're doing this kind of work and you're talking about and trying to support folks that you think are wrongly accused, and then you have these confessions, and then it starts to, the doubt of other folks start to seep through, and you really don't have a way to counteract that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he pretty much laid it out.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That was amazing. That was absolutely amazing. Jamala, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Next week, special Justice for Reggie.
Special 2-hour Justice for Reggie. So we want people to call us and interact with us. Let us know what you've done for the last year of the campaign. And really, we're going to be kind of just going back.
Walking
down memory lane with all the fascinating and wonderful events and activities that we've been embarked upon for the 2006.
2006. Okay, this is Liz Brown. I'll be back in the next hour to take your calls and comments. Stay with me.
That's not a lot. Been an angel all year, Santa baby. So hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa honey, one little thing I really need, the deed to a platinum mine, Santa baby. So hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa cutie, and fill my stocking with a duplex and checks. Sign your X on the line, Santa cutie, and hurry down the chimney tonight. Come and trim my Christmas tree with some decorations bought at.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. The report is done, and now come the questions. The chairs of the Iraq Study Group are testifying for the Senate Armed Services Committee. ABC News Chief Washington Correspondent George Stephanopoulos says most of the members should be sent.
What this report does, and the power of this report, is in its analysis, and it's really ratified a consensus here in Washington. Democrats and Republicans agree that the current strategy is failing, the situation in Iraq is slipping, and a major change in course is needed.
President Bush is going over the report with his British counterpart and strongest ally on Iraq.
Prime Minister Tony Blair was interviewed by the Iraq Study Group, and he joins President Bush for a news conference this morning. The study paints a dark picture of conditions in Iraq, but Chairman James Baker tells ABC this morning the group realizes that U.S. troops will be there for a long time.
This report does not in any way call for a graceful exit.
President Bush says he probably won't accept all the group's advice. Ann Compton, ABC News, the White House.
December could be another bloody month for U.S. troops in Iraq. More than 30 have been killed so far, at least 10 yesterday. NASA is supposed to launch the shuttle Discovery, weather permitting.
Mostly sunny out there now with mild temperatures, but way off I can see clouds and gusty winds moving in. The countdown continues, no major problems, but NASA managers are taking a fresh look at the weather forecast before deciding if they'll go ahead and load fuel on board the shuttle this afternoon.
ABC's is Vic Ratner at the Kennedy Space Center. The search for James Kim is over. His body was found not far from where he'd left his family to look for help. More from ABC's Neil Karlinski.
It was a very happy trip at the outset, a road trip for Thanksgiving from San Francisco to the Pacific Northwest. They had a good holiday by all accounts, but on the way home, one wrong turn while headed towards a vacation lodge on the coast left them stranded in these mountains, and unfortunately, it's changed this family's life forever.
Dow and NASDAQ both up and early going. This is ABC News.
Hi, Susie.
Thanks for watching my kids.
Good timing. I'm making rich chocolate Ovaltine.
Ooh, my kids love chocolate milk.
So do mine, but I didn't make it for them. This Ovaltine's for us.
Really?
Hey, adults love the taste, too. Plus, I drink rich chocolate Ovaltine every day because it's high in calcium and antioxidants like vitamins A, C, and E. Ovaltine even has iron I need, which I can't get from Nesquik powder or milk alone.
Mmm, Ovaltine is good.
And it's loaded with vitamins and minerals. Nesquik powder doesn't come close.
More Ovaltine, please.
Top three reasons I'm buying gifts at the Home Depot. Number three, the tools my husband wants. Number two, a flashlight my son needs. And number one, finding something for everyone on my list at prices I want.
Right now, the Home Depot has a Ryobi 9.6-volt drill kit with battery, bit set, and case for only $24. And all in-stock Maglite flashlights are 20% off. Who couldn't use one of those? The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Valid in U.S. only through December 13th. See store for details.
Getting spammed more than ever? You're not alone. Here's ABC's Deirdre Bryant.
Prescription drugs, penny stocks, sound familiar? Over the last year, spam has skyrocketed and now accounts for 9 out of every 10 messages sent on the Internet.
We've never seen this large an increase in such a short amount of time.
Craig Sprotts of the Iron Port Threat Operations Center.
Spammers have found a new hole in anti-spam defense systems, and they're using image spam to exploit that hole.
The words of an ad are part of a picture. Most spam now sent through other people's infected computers. Deirdre Bryant, ABC News.
The experts were right. More of us are doing our holiday shopping online this year, and sites are spending more to get our business. Comscore Network says Internet sales are up 25% the 1st of November through the 3rd of December, and the number of people who actually made purchases, that was up too, 17%. What you save on gas, shopping online, you'll pay more, and holiday travel prices are expected to go up through the end of the year. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU News Update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, Ameren and UE customers are being warned not to hassle crews working to restore power. Erica Abbott, a spokesperson for Ameren, says crews are being told to leave a property if they feel threatened and they won't come back without a security detail. Abbott says that could cause delays in getting power restored to some people. There are just over 47,000 customers in Missouri and Illinois remaining without power. About 27,000 of those outages are in the St. Louis area. Governor Matt Blunt is praising area organizations and volunteers for their response to last week's winter storm. Hundreds of volunteers with the American Red Cross, the Salvation Army, and various faith-based organizations helped provide shelter, meals, and supplies to storm victims. Volunteers with county public health offices have conducted well-being visits to seniors and people with special needs. Congressman Todd Akin says it's good to look at the ideas of the Iraq Study Group, but the Missouri Republican also says fighting a war by committee isn't the right way to go, and the president must make the decision as commander-in-chief. The Iraq Study Group doesn't recommend President Bush's stay-the-course tactic or increasing troops in Iraq. The report calls the situation there grave and deteriorating. Akin says some areas of Iraq, like Baghdad, are terrible, but others are close to being able to run themselves. Finally this hour, a new report by Campaign for Tobacco-Free Kids ranks how well states are doing with tobacco prevention since the 1998 tobacco settlements. Danny McGoldrick, the vice president of research for the campaign, says Missouri is tied for last in the nation for its commitment to tobacco prevention.
Missouri, despite taking in $245 million a year from its tobacco settlement and its tobacco taxes, spends absolutely none of that money on tobacco prevention or cessation programs that we know work to prevent kids from starting to smoke.
McGoldrick says it would take less than 15% of the money the state gets from tobacco tax and the settlement to fully fund a good tobacco prevention program. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Kmart. You know those Christmas gifts that just make you feel warm all over? Kmart has them. Get cozy outerwear for the whole family at 40% off. Hurry, sale ends Sunday, December 10th. Kmart, where Christmas comes together. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Sudafed PE. Westbound 70 at West Florissant, no problems to report. Police report there are no accidents that were earlier reported. Eastbound 70 at Goodfellow, no problems there. Police saying there were no accidents found there as well. Eastbound 70 on the ramp to Lucas and Hunt. Look for an incident that's been cleared. An earlier disabled vehicle was moved from traffic lanes. Westbound 70 at Salisbury, there is an accident reported there. Northbound 270 at Big Bend, an accident there. This appears to be blocking the two left lanes. Eastbound 40 between 141 and McKnight. Look for that congestion to have been cleared. And there are a number of ongoing intersections where the traffic lights are not working. Please treat these intersections as four-way stops. All your approaches into the Poplar Street Bridge, you can expect a final push as the morning rush hour concludes this morning. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Sudafed PE. Sinus misery, get Sudafed PE. The medicine in Sudafed PE is clinically shown to relieve nasal congestion in minutes. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Saturday. For today, blustery, cold, and mostly sunny, but the high is only in the lower 20s. That's what's expected today. This evening, clear with a low around 10. For Friday, sunny with a high in the mid-30s, and Saturday, sunny with a high in the upper 40s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have mostly clear skies, 15 degrees. The wind chill makes it feel like it's minus 1. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's up next. It's Open Lines with Liz Brown, so get on board at 454-0400 and say what you have to say to Liz. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU. Boom, 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 boom.
Baby, just slip a sable under the tree for me. Been an awful good girl, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa baby, a 54 convertible to light blue. I'll wait up for you, dear Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Think of all the fun I've missed. Think of all the fellas that I haven't kissed. Next year I could be just as good if you check off my Christmas list. Santa baby, I want a yacht, and really that's not a lot. Been an angel all year, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa honey, one little thing I really need, the deed to a platinum mine, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa cutie, and fill my stocking with the duplex and checks. Sign your X on the line, Santa cutie, and hurry down the chimney tonight. Mm-hmm. come and trim my Christmas tree with some decorations bought at Tiffany's. I really do believe in you. Let's see if you believe in me. Santa baby forgot to mention one little thing, a ring. I don't mean on the phone, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Hurry down the chimney tonight. Hurry. Tonight.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609. That would be the fax. My email is revolution@lizbrown.com. Get up, get up, get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
Will, good morning.
Very interesting guest.
Wasn't he wonderful? Wasn't he wonderful?
Yeah, I learned a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Fascinating. And it kind of reminded me, it took me back to an incident when I was 18 years old and I had just gotten my first job. There used to be a Noggle's restaurant out on St. Anne on St. Charles Rock Road. And the first day I worked at this job, I believe the shift manager, a white lady, had left her purse sitting somewhere, and somebody had stole $300 out of it. But to make a long story short, I ended up at St. Anne Police Station, and they were interrogating me, and they told me this fascinating tale about a lie detector test that they had that could listen to the sound of my voice and judge the movement of my eyes and would tell whether I'm lying or not.
Wow.
And they were trying to get me to confess that I did it. And then I'm like, here I am. I'm thinking, of course, here I am, the black guy just started working.
And how old were you?
Yeah, huh?
How old were you?
I was 18 at the time. And, but fortunately, I called my father, and my father came out there, and he raised so much, you know, pardon my French, hell, that eventually it was a done deal. They just rolled it. I don't know whatever became of that, but I know I didn't take the money.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but I thought about that. What if they had, you know, who knows what I would have confessed to had they kept me there long enough.
And they hadn't, and you hadn't been able to call your father.
Exactly. And so I thought, and what I found most fascinating about what he was saying was that even after the fact, when they came to
mm-hmm.
these people and told them, you know, no, this wasn't true, you didn't do it, or some, you know, you've been proven innocent, they still wanted to say, oh, no.
No, you're just trying to be nice. You're trying to make me feel better, but I know I did it.
Exactly. That is fascinating. But it does put this whole confession death penalty thing into a whole new light, too.
Absolutely.
Very interesting.
Thank you, Will. Take care now. Listen, folks, I'll be back. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with me.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
This joy I have.
This joy I have, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. Be sure to listen to Joy in Jerusalem each Sunday, time 11 until 12 p.m., with Dr. Evangelist Rosella Burks, presenting Elder William Bailey and Elder Damon Collins, along with other great pastors. Feel the joy every Sunday, time 11 p.m., here on AM 920 WGNU.
Hi, this is Liz Brown, and it's that time of year again when Wake Up Call listeners reach out and warm hearts all over St. Louis. That's right, it's the third annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive. The Blanket Drive will take place on December 15th with a live remote at 7 a.m. at the George Washington Carver House. We'll have pickup and drop-off here at the station and at Carver House starting at 6 a.m. So you don't have a lot of time, it's been a really warm winter. Mark your calendar for Friday, December 15th, and bring your blankets. Once again, we are warming hearts all over St. Louis.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
On an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. My goodness gracious. We have so much stuff to talk about. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Good morning, Ms. Liz Brown. Greetings.
Season's greetings.
I'm going to mention these two, then I'm going to move on. The Tom Salk Reservoir, the Callaway Nuclear Plant. They built those things and said they was going to offer us cheaper utilities and dependable utilities. We found out this past year that even the power plant can have a catastrophe and go down. Let's move on, Liz, to one of your favorite subjects, Sears on Union. Let's talk about preparedness. This summer and this ice storm is not as bad as it could get. You know, we sit here on the New Madrid Fault. We're in Tornado Alley. I think everybody should have learned a lesson from the summer and this freezing rain we had to get prepared for whatever's going to bring on to us in 07 and in the future. Now, you got a store up there on Union that sell generators and propane heaters. That Sears store, I think everybody needs to try to figure in a budget how to get a generator and some propane heaters and things so they can at least be 50% prepared. We can't prepare for all the atrocities and Mother Nature going to send us this, but we can do our best to try to stave off what we experienced these last two sessions with the weather.
Oh, we all need to be a whole lot more prepared than what we are right now.
Yes, ma'am.
And a whole new way of doing stuff.
And a whole new way of thinking,
mm-hmm.
When we think we can depend on the one. I have to commend the workers out there, Liz. I've been watching them and seeing them, and I take my hat off to them. They've done a tremendous job with the weather and the condition they had to face. And I'm saying, we as human beings, and in this city, should consider, this is not the worst thing that can happen to St. Louis. Tornado Alley and the New Madrid Fault.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to get up off our butts, mm-hmm. and start putting the things in place that we need. Now, I know Sears sell generators and Buddy Heaters up there on Union. And I think they ought to be the new road up there trying to acquire one.
Absolutely.
You have a nice
Absolutely.
Day.
You too. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to talk to. Check this out. More than 1,000 government employees, including hundreds of cops, have been convicted in FBI corruption cases in the past 2 years. 177 federal officials, 158 state officials, 360 local officials, and 365 cops. There was a committee hearing. This is what the FBI, director Robert Mueller said. He was talking to the Senate Judiciary Committee that public corruption cases are the agency's top criminal investigation priority. 365 cops. And the question that was asked of the, what assurance can you provide, of the FBI director, Robert Mueller, question was asked of him, what assurances that can you provide that the program is worthwhile? Have terror cells been broken? Mueller says that he's briefed the intelligence committees but wasn't authorized to share the information with the judiciary panel. Now, remember, this that the FBI is supposed to be out there trying to get terrorists, and I appreciate if you're arresting 365 cops that are corrupt, should be arrested, should be put in jail, put under the jail. Corrupt cops should be put under the jail. I appreciate that. I understand that. I believe in that. But what are you doing? We're giving you billions of dollars to go after the tourists. What are you doing about the tourists? And the answer is, I'm not authorized to share that information. I can't tell you if the program has been worthwhile, and I can't tell you if any arrests have been made, and I can't tell you if terrorist cells have been broken. Man, what a great gig. What a great gig. They give you billions of dollars to fix something. When they ask you, has it been fixed, you say, I'm not authorized to give you the answer to that information, that question. I'm not authorized to give you an answer to that. And that's something. What a great gig. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. Get to me. We have much business to tend to. Much business to tend to. 1-877-920-WGNU. I want to just push this a little bit more. I want to push this a little bit more because it is an outrageous thing. It's a story that we broke in the Eye on the Loo section of the show. You all need to pick up your phone and you need to call about this. This is outrageous. This shows utter and absolute contempt for our citizens. It shows utter and absolute contempt for it also shows utter and absolute contempt for fiscal responsibility. When we have legislators shamelessly saying, Representative Jane Cunningham is filing legislation tomorrow that allows utilities a tax credit on their state liability for the full amount of lost revenue that the utility companies incur due to the cold weather rule. Ain't that a blip? Jane Cunningham, a Republican in the state legislature of the state of Missouri, is introducing a piece of legislation while, mind you, while citizens still don't have their electricity back on. While citizens suffered needlessly after that storm. Because if UE had been cutting down, if Ameren, who purchased UE, had been cutting down the trees like they were supposed to, people would, as many people would not have suffered for as long as they suffered. This Republican is introducing legislation that will allow Ameren UE a tax credit on their state tax liability in the full amount of the lost revenue that they incurred due to the cold weather rule. Due to the cold weather. Now remember, the cold weather rule is a rule that was put into place by Jeb Banks, Senator Jeb Banks, God bless his soul. Cold weather rule. That means that once the temperature drops a certain amount to below 32 degrees, the utility companies cannot come and turn your electricity off. They can't. Because people die. Y'all will be all right. Now remember, the utility companies, by virtue of the agreement that they've entered into with the state, they are legislatively guaranteed a profit. Any of y'all out there with the business have been guaranteed a profit from anybody? Anybody? Utility companies that are the monopoly are guaranteed, legislatively guaranteed a profit. Okay? So now this Republican legislator by the name of Jane Cunningham is filing legislation tomorrow that says, you know what, the rich have suffered enough. Let us give them a tax credit on their state tax liability in the full amount of the lost revenue that they incur due to the cold weather rule. How much money do you lose? You already guaranteed a profit. If you don't get to turn off my electricity for 2 weeks, because of the cold weather rule, then it gets back up to 50 degrees. Then you can come on to my house and turn my stuff off. I'm turning my electricity back on. It's not like I'm going to have to not pay you for the electricity that I did use. So what is your loss? What are, out of all the people who get their electricity turned off when it's really cold out here, or that would be getting their electricity, because they get folks before it gets cold. Out of all, what is the percentage of the number of people who don't get their electricity turned back on after it's turned off? Most people need electricity. You don't lose any money that we should be giving you a tax write-off on. That's the cost of doing business. And it's a profitable business, a billion-dollar profitable business. Mm. Oh, did we talk about how poorly they run their business? Oh, the folks that need to hear this, they can't hear it because their electricity is not on. My name is Liz Brown. I'll be back. Stay with me.
Nothing can be truer than the phrase, all politics is local. That's why Liz Brown is adding the Automatic Watch to the award-winning Wake Up Calls lineup. Every Monday at 7 a.m., Liz will be joined by Alderman Lewis Reed to discuss the comings and goings of the St. Louis Board of Aldermen. Do you want to know the latest bill passed? Do you want to know why it passed? And do you want to know who voted for and who voted against? Well, you're going to have to join Liz Brown when she talks Aldermanic politics with Alderman Lewis Reed every Monday at 7 a.m. Lewis Reed is going to bring local politics up close and personal, and you never know who else will be joining the discussion. The Aldermanic Watch, every Monday at 7 a.m., only on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else?
Where else, where else, where else? Washers, dryers, refrigerators, stoves, snow blowers, tractors. How about a treadmill? It's cold outside. You need lots of stuff. You need lots of things in your home. So get on down to Sears at 3425 Union, 3425 Union. My name is Liz Brown. When you get down there, tell them I told you to.
Rediscover the true spirit of Christmas. See the national touring production of Charles Dickens' holiday classic, A Christmas Carol. The timeless Dickens tale comes to life as a treasured holiday experience. December 15th through 18th at the Fox Theater. Join literature's best-known curmudgeon, Ebenezer Scrooge, on his unforgettable journey to discover the true meaning of Christmas. The Los Angeles Times says this production makes you feel like you're seeing and hearing the story for the first time. Bring the entire family for an entire evening packed with old-fashioned holiday fun. December 15th through 18th at the Fox Theater. The national touring presentation of A Christmas Carol. Reserve seats are on sale now at the Fox Box Office and Metrotix. Charge by phone at 314-534-1111 or online at metrotix.com. Celebrate the season with A Christmas Carol.
Hi, this is Liz Brown, and it's that time of year again when Wake Up Call listeners reach out and warm hearts all over St. Louis. That's right, it's the third annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive. The Blanket Drive will take place on December 15th with a live remote at 7 a.m. at the George Washington Carver House. We'll have pickup and drop-off here at the station and at Carver House starting at 6 a.m. So you don't have a lot of time. It's been a really warm winter. Mark your calendar for Friday, December 15th, and bring your blankets. Once again, we are warming hearts all over St. Louis.
The Struggle for Fairness on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Guided by a shining star, to where you are, to see the day in the wise men from afar came to see the child born of a virgin.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. Get up, get up, get up, get to me. Donna.
Yes, good morning, Liz. How are you?
Donna Jones, good morning.
Good morning. This topic just hit home so well. I've seen so many people that were disconnected way before the storm hit.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really asking people, I don't throw my wood away. I'm cutting it up and stacking it up just in case of emergency.
Okay, so you have working fireplaces in your home.
Yes, I do have a working fireplace,
mm-hmm.
but I would advise people to really consider cutting that wood up and stacking it in the backyard. And I wanted to say something about the reconnection of the wires. It's my understanding from some of the service agencies that people have been coming to them asking them if they can help them pay for an electrician because UE has told them that they must pay. If the wires are down at your home from pole to pole, they'll put them back up. But if they come loose from the box that's attached to your house, you have to pay for an electrician on your own.
That's my understanding as well, Donna.
Right, and who can afford that? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not a cheap thing if you don't have it.
That's right. And particularly, now let me get this straight. If the box is torn off of my house because of a tree that you did not cut down, how is that my fault?
Oh, yeah, and just think about it now. Okay, so if you tamper with the box and you can't get your electricity on, if you tamper with the box, then they can arrest you, they can fine you, because now it's their box again.
No, now it's their box again.
It's their box again.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted to say something about people who go to get the assistance for electricity or gas. Now, once you receive that grant, it's really not, you might not get it. Because if you can't come up with a large matching fund, if you don't have children under the age of 5 or 6, they'll keep it if you can't come up with the matching funds at least in 2 weeks. So you're back to square one, and you probably won't have any assistance at all.
And that's
something. A lot of people are just priced out.
And that's something.
Yeah, a lot of people I know just don't have any gas at all. They haven't had any gas, and electricity was their only alternate heating source. So.
Wow. All right, Donna.
Thank you. I'm going to call.
All right.
Thank you.
And the number for that representative for Jane Cunningham, she lost her mind. 573-751-1186. That's 573-751-1186. That's crazy. What are you thinking? What are you thinking? James.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
How you doing?
I'm outstanding.
I'd like to talk to you about a product that's on the market. It's called a hanging wall furnace. Have you ever heard of one?
Hanging? Turn your radio down, please, James.
Oh, I'm sorry. I think I got the television on.
Okay.
Okay, if I can get to it. A hanging wall furnace, yeah.
What is a hanging wall furnace?
Well, you don't need a flue. You don't need a flue. You don't need no outlet for it to... you're just hanging on the side of a wall, and you attach a gas line to it. You don't need electric to operate it.
Oh, because of like my I need the electricity to run the blower.
Yeah, well, you don't need a blower because I've used some for several years because we're on a fixed income. I can't afford the high gas bill. So what we do. We only use 3 rooms during the winter months. And I've got a furnace. I got a three-bedroom house. But in the wintertime, we only use, most of the time, we only use 2 rooms, the living room and the bedroom.
And the kitchen.
And the kitchen. But in the bathroom, we do use an electric heater. But it's called a hanging wall furnace. You don't, and it's gravity. You don't need a flue. And they hang it on the wall. And the one I have is 15,000 BTU. And it really heats the whole living room and the bedroom.
How much does it cost?
Well, you can get them for, mine. I've had two. And mine, I think the last one, I paid $200 for it. Any bona fide, a plumber can hook it up.
A plumber?
Sure. A plumber, a bona fide plumber, if you hook it up for it, sure. A plumber can hook it up.
So all you have to do is run a gas line to it?
Yeah. It's got a safety device on it. And you know.
And how is that? Is that cheaper than having a furnace?
Well, of course it is. But you want. When people come to the house.
Okay, explain to me how it's cheaper than a furnace.
Well, I only heat 2 or 3 rooms.
Gotcha.
The furnace heats
okay.
the whole house.
Gotcha. Okay.
And as far as, we're only fixing that my income is less than $2,000 a month. I can't afford a $300 or $400 gas bill.
I understand.
I cut my gas bill more than half. And you can go to any Lowe's, you can go to Home Depot. You can purchase those things there.
A hanging
wall furnace.
And the other piece of it, so you turn your gas furnace off completely?
Sure.
Okay.
And I turn it off completely, and we only live in, during the winter months, we only live in two parts of the house. You know,
wow.
Well, the whole family's gone, and it's for low, to me, it's for low-income people. I
okay.
can't afford that $300 or $400 a month gas.
So you have one in your bedroom, you have one in your living room?
No,
and
now, when I first started, now, they got safety devices on them now. You weren't supposed to put them in your bedroom.
Okay.
But listen, I live here, we got one in the living room, but there's a safety device on them now before
Excellent.
I purchased them. I've been using them for several years.
Excellent. James, thank you for that.
Sure.
Okay, you take care now.
Sure, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 1-877-920-WGNU. Sam.
Oh, good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
Liz, like you were explaining that the utilities company, they never lose any money.
Mm-hmm.
But think about it. When you partially pay one of your bills, they tack on a late fee.
Yes, they do.
Okay, if they turn your utilities off, to be reinstated, you have to pay a penalty.
And a reinstatement.
And, yeah, the reinstatement.
And deposits.
Yeah, and the deposit. And think about it. Something that happened to my sister years ago. She had the same name as the person who lived in the house that my mom had. And my sister and her share the first same thing. Okay, well, when the other person moved out, my sister moved in. They said that this was her bill. And the strange thing about it was she was paying a higher bill almost for a year. And she knew it was something up because after about a year and they were satisfied, the bill went down. Now, she couldn't tell them, well, hey, I'm not this person. But, you know, you got Social Security number, even though you don't share the same last name. Hey, you should be able to prove that, hey, this bill doesn't belong to you. And didn't, I got one question to ask you, Liz. Over here in Missouri, didn't they pass some legislation saying that if you didn't use a certain amount of gas to heat your home, that you would be penalized?
Yeah, I don't know if they passed it or not, but they were talking about that, introducing legislation to say, no, you can't not use it, and if you do, we're going to charge you for that, too.
Right, and see, that's what got me when I thought about it. Okay, we're talking about the electricity. Let's not blame the guys that came in to help us. Blame the ones that already hurt.
Who's blaming the guys that came? I've never heard anybody blame them. That,
yeah,
you
no,
know?
I said don't blame them. Blame the ones that are already here because they're being paid to take care of certain aspects of general life to make it pleasurable for us to have this in the house, and then they still drop the ball. You have a beautiful day.
Take care of yourself. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. There is a legislator in the state of Missouri, a Republican, happens to be a Republican. Her name is Jane Cunningham. She's also hustling for the charter issue. But that aside, irrespective of your position on the charter thing, She is introducing legislation tomorrow to try and, you know, I believe in the world of Jane Cunningham, the rich have suffered enough. She is filing legislation on Friday that allows UE and Laclede Gas a tax credit on their state tax liability in the full amount of lost revenue they incur due to the cold weather rule. Ain't that some stuff? Ain't that some stuff? Her number, would you like her number to ask her why on earth would she be giving them a hustle? 573-751-1186. 573-751-1186. Oh my goodness. We'll be back. Liz Brown, and it's that time of year again when Wake Up Call listeners reach out and warm hearts all over St. Louis. That's right, it's the third annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive. The Blanket Drive will take place on December 15th with a live remote at 7 a.m. at the George Washington Carver House.
We'll have pickup and drop-off here at the station and at Carver House starting at 6 a.m. So you don't have a lot of time. It's been a really warm winter. Mark your calendar for Friday, December 15th, and bring your blankets. Once again, we are warming hearts all over St. Louis.
This is your WGNU Global News Update. Dateline, Washington, D.C. Yesterday's report from the Iraq Study Group urges the country to centralize oil revenues and use them as a source of financing to rebuild Iraq. The panel says part of stabilizing the country will be to create a framework for distribution of oil revenues to regional and local governments. The group's report says the current system is divisive because it allows regions to take the lead in developing oil fields as opposed to letting the national oil company handle exploration and development. Kurdish leaders are strongly opposed to centralization, saying such a policy has shortchanged their region in the past. The report says corruption in the Iraqi oil industry may be more responsible for breakdowns in distributing crude than insurgent attacks. The panel says up to 500,000 barrels of output a day are being stolen, and a system should be put into place to track oil shipments and reduce thefts. In addition, the study group says legal clarity on oil issues is a necessary component to attract the international investment needed to help rebuild Iraq's oil infrastructure. Experts say neglect and continuing attacks have left the country's oil industry in need of up to $20 billion in investments to return to normal. This is your WGNU Global News Update, sponsored by Reasonable Construction.
Stop putting it off. Reasonable Construction has reasonable pricing to get the work done now. Reasonable Construction can perform all your rehab, repair, and remodeling projects for commercial and residential. 314-382-2200. Reasonable Construction has in-house payments and home improvement loans. They accept all major credit cards. Call today for your free estimate. 314-382-2200. For more information, go to their website, www.reasonableconstruction.com.
If you have suffered roof damage from the recent severe weather, Phil Person Roofing is still a name you can trust. Licensed and certified for commercial and residential jobs, Phil Person Roofing offers free estimates for all work. To contact Person Roofing, call this special emergency number, 602-1047. That's 602-1047. Phil Person Roofing, 602-1047.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Merry Christmas, baby. You sure did treat me nice. Merry Christmas, baby. You sure did treat me nice. You gave me a diamond ring for Christmas. Now I'm living in paradise.
Merry Christmas, baby. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call, 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get up, get up. Get to me. We have much business, much business, much business to tend to. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get up, or get to me. Andre.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I've heard so many interesting things this morning. That guest. Talking about the false confessions.
Oh, wasn't that just a lovely?
And you know, it just goes to show how much people really just don't understand how the criminal injustice system doesn't work to the benefit of citizens. It really is a rigged system. And if you're not involved with it, like yourself as an attorney or in police, work. Yeah. People really just don't have any idea what they're getting into when they get behind those doors.
Absolutely.
And like the professor was saying, it doesn't even have to be about physicality.
Nope.
because they do it to you mentally.
They do. And I think those that abuse this play on the fact that most Americans out there somehow erroneously believe that, well, if it's happening to you mentally, that never compares with somebody just beating the crap out of you.
Right.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
It's like I asked you once before from your experience, because I see this on you know, like cop shows all the time, how it is that people will just start talking. And how many times have you heard that, you know, you never open your mouth, but when you're in that situation, it's an entirely different thing.
And that's what was so helpful that about the information that the professor was giving us, was that people revert to that childlike state. You know, you have this super authority figure. You are isolated from all safe things. The only thing that matters to you, you believe that there's no way out, nothing that you can do.
Right.
And you start doing the stupid things.
Right. And it's not really stupid. It's just tunnel vision.
Well, it's stupid because you are hurting yourself.
Well, yeah, but tunnel vision, I mean, you like you said, you don't see any way out. You really don't believe that there are any options.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the way someone offers you three choices on a test. Well, what's to say that there couldn't be more than three choices?
Mm-hmm.
But that's all you're given, so that's what you deal with.
Yep.
And none of them might be right. And the other thing I wanted to mention, too, about this thing with the utilities, those wall furnaces, that's not new. I have seen them in different parts of the country. When I lived in San Francisco, I had them.
Okay.
Also, I've seen them in Louisiana.
Okay.
And they do work very well.
Okay, I'd never heard of them before. It was new to me. I had never heard of them.
Yeah, they work quite well. But the thing that I've always wondered about furnaces is this. Why is it that there couldn't be some sort of an override system or some like battery backup system, so that in the event that the electricity goes out, you would still be able to have your electric ignition, your electric thermostat operate the brain on the furnace? Why can't you have a battery pack that would kick
Absolutely.
In, you know, like an emergency generator?
Absolutely. Great question. Got to roll. Thank you, Andre.
Okay.
1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get to me. Vernon.
Yeah, good morning, Liz. How are you?
I'm outstanding.
Okay. I have a question here while we're talking about UE. It's funny to me that nobody is mentioning the fact that, see, I get a check on disability, but I don't get that check until the third. But yet each month, my bill always had that little late fee on it. Now, if they know that you don't get the check on it until the third, why do they keep adding their little 50 cents or 75 cents to when you take their hundreds of thousands?
Have you called them and asked them to put you on a different billing cycle?
No, I didn't.
Okay, what I would do, I would pick up the phone today and call them and ask them to put you on a different billing cycle, because that's when you get your check.
Okay.
Okay, call them and ask them to do that.
Okay, let me ask you another little question
right
quick. Now, I've been reading and hearing about this. So what if water existed on Mars? I mean, so what? You're spending millions and billions of dollars talking about this country. What if people did habitate or something that habitated no more? That's no benefit. We got so much problems right down here on Earth. Why don't they solve these problems? Leave whatever's up there alone.
Thanks for your call, Brennan.
All right,
bye-bye. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get up, get to me. The Rev.
Good morning. Miss Brown.
Yeah.
Keep waking us up. Keep waking up the black people and the white people. White people and black people, all us, or whatever color we are, wake us up. Keep waking us up. Don't stop. Don't you stop. Irene J. Smith, don't stop. Peter Downs, don't stop. Liz Brown, don't stop. Keep waking us up. Wake up, St. Louis. You better wake up. You're trying to keep us woke and trying to keep us going. So because we have issues that need to be addressed over the air. Wake up, everybody in this world. Wake up before it's too late. keep waking us up, Liz.
All right, and I'll see you on Friday at the blanket drive.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, now, don't forget, folks, we have a blanket drive volunteer meeting tomorrow at 6 o'clock here at the station 265 Union, 6 o'clock tomorrow. Volunteers, we need you. Got some wonderful news, wonderful news. Oh, I'm so excited about what's going to happen at the blanket drive. I'm going to share that with you tomorrow. We're going to have some wonderful visitors at the blanket drive on next Friday, and I'm going to be sharing that with you tomorrow. Give me a call here at 454-0400. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Yes, Liz.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
All right. I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller.
Well, welcome.
I was wondering, what happened to the dollar help money that UE gets?
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Isn't that something? I'd like to see an audit of that money.
Yes.
I would love to see an audit of that money.
Yes, what's happening with
and
that?
And think about that. Think about it. They have money just sitting there. They have your the deposits.
Right.
That are sitting there earning them interest.
Right.
That's free money. That's absolutely free money.
Absolutely.
And they are legislatively guaranteed a profit. And we have a legislator, Jane Cunningham, that's introducing legislation tomorrow to allow UE and Laclede Gas a tax credit on their state tax liability in the full amount of the lost revenue that they incurred due to the cold weather rule. Ain't that some stuff?
That's some stuff, Liz.
That's some stuff.
Big time stuff.
Yes, it is.
But I got that number. I'm going to call them myself.
573-751-1186. Call her and ask her, have you lost your mind?
All right.
Thanks for your call.
All right. Thank you, Liz.
1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
Yes, but a couple things that I used to find successful when I was a police officer, I had a little fingerprint card with a perfect thumbprint on it, which was my thumbprint, and I would lay that in front of the suspect, and I would never lie to them, but I would say, you realize nobody has your fingerprint, nobody else in the whole world. And then I would ask them, well, how or why could I have found your fingerprint at the store? Well, of course, usually that would lead into a confession. And it's
why is it not surprising to me that you would lie to people? Why is that not surprising to me? You're the same guy that pushes the Republican Party all the time. Of course you would lie to people. That's who you are. And of course you have a justification for it, because that's who you are. You just confess that you lie to people, you got no problem with it. Good God, we need to go pull all of your cases, because it sounds like there are a whole lot of innocent people in jail based upon your lies. You're on the wake up call.
Liz Brown.
Fell on the car phone.
Newsflash, Liz, Iraq is a disaster.
You think?
Hey. Why couldn't we get $1 million? We've been saying that for how long?
$1.3 million.
You know what I'm saying?
$1.3 million.
And I wish they should send Minister Farrakhan that $1.3 million, because he told George Bush before he went in there that it was going to be a hornet's nest if he did it.
$1.3 million. Cynthia McKinney.
Anyway.
Cynthia McKinney lost her gig. $1.3 million. Thanks for your call.
All right, Liz.
Listen, folks, I'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. Thank you for listening. Don't forget about the blanket drive next Friday. Volunteers meeting tomorrow, 6 o'clock, 265 Union. And until tomorrow, stay strong.
To a platinum mine, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa cutie, and fill my stocking with the duplex and checks.